Republican members voted for it. So the Republicans lost their leverage when that happened.
A series of strong earthquakes struck near Christchurch, New Zealand today. This comes just 10 months after a quake devastated the city center. Rebuilding after the February quake is still in progress, and Joy Reid with TV New Zealand says victims are understandably discouraged by this new setback.
Victims have said that that infrastructure is now back to absolutely square one. You can, in some of the eastern suburbs today, you can smell the sewage mixed with the water under the heat of the sun. It's an extremely awful situation for many people.
The strongest of today's quakes was a 5.9 magnitude. The bodies of two ATV enthusiasts missing since Sunday in California's Mojave Desert have been found after a massive search. The 27 and 29-year-old men were found in an area popular with off-roaders. Some House Republicans want to rein in TSA officers. Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn sponsoring a bill to stop TSA officers from using the title officer, wearing a badge, or wearing uniforms resembling police uniforms. Blackburn says they don't come close to having the training of real cops.
They advertise for screeners on pizza boxes and at discount gas stations in the Washington, D.C. area.
Right.
They do not have to go through this law enforcement training. Maybe they should stop impersonating federal law enforcement officers and stop the overreach.
About 6,000 California nurses staged a one-day strike at several hospitals yesterday. Longtime nurse Margie Keenan says they object to what they call an erosion of quality care and cuts to patient protections. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
What you're about to hear are the real experiences of women over 40 who finally lost weight by becoming hormonally balanced again.
I'm actually slim. Me, slim.
I can fit in my skinny jeans again.
I look in the mirror now, and I love what I see.
Their secret is Amberin, the revolutionary formula for women over 40 that balances hormones. The leading cause of weight gain over 40 is hormonal imbalance. Until you balance your hormones, losing weight can be practically impossible. But Amberin restores hormonal balance naturally, so you can finally lose the weight, even that stubborn belly fat. Plus, Amberin eliminates other symptoms of hormonal aging, like hot flashes, night sweats, low libido, difficulty concentrating, and more. Be one of the first 50 callers right now, and they'll send you a complimentary risk-free trial with a 30-day supply. Free. Just cover shipping and handling. Call 1-800-727-6323. That's 1-800-727-6323. 1-800-727-6323.
It is nail-biting time if you have not finished your holiday shopping, but while it may be nerve-wracking, the delay could pay off. Despite upbeat expectations for this holiday shopping season, retailers remain nervous, so many are slashing prices with just hours now before Christmas. Deals abound, 40% discounts at Abercrombie & Fitch, half off at Ann Taylor, 60% at Gap. Consultants at Alex Partners tell the New York Times the bad news is this could signal stores are top-heavy with inventory. But the low prices may be good news for the head of Netflix. Blunders that alienated the video subscription services customers and slashed into its stock will cost CEO Reed Hastings $1.5 million. The Netflix board is slashing his stock options in half. Hastings' base salary, though, is untouched at $500,000. Stock futures suggesting there won't be any slashing of yesterday's Wall Street gains. We're looking at green arrows ahead of reports on consumer spending, durable goods orders, and new home prices. S&P futures up by 5, NASDAQ 6, Dow gaining 37. I'm Steve Potus at MarketWatch.com.
Please listen to this important announcement from Pfizer, the makers of Lipitor, atorvastatin calcium tablets. Pfizer may help you reduce the cost of your monthly Lipitor prescription. For eligible patients, Lipitor is available for as little as $4 a month with the Lipitor copay card. Terms and conditions apply. To learn more, please visit Lipitor.com. See our ad in Cooking Light magazine. Learn more at Lipitor.com or call 1-888-LIPITOR.
There's nothing like a ghost story around the campfire, and I've got one that's not for the faint of heart. Once there was a camper who did not insure his RV with Geico. He didn't listen when fellow campers told him how much money Geico saved them by insuring their campers, trailers and pop-ups, or how he could save even more with a multi-policy discount. The camper paid dearly for his mistake. He paid out the nose, poor chap. Well, good luck getting to sleep after that doozy of a tale.
Call Geico or visit geico.com today to see how much our multi-policy discount could save you.
What's at the top of our holiday wish list?
more time to cross stuff off our lists.
Hurry into Sears Auto Center to save big on all top tire brands and get an extra $70 via mail-in rebate on four qualifying Michelin tires. Plus, get any service and we'll give you a $5 Sears coupon to help you tackle the rest of your holiday shopping list while you wait. Go to SearsAuto.com for more money-saving offers and coupons. That's real convenience for real drivers. Sears Auto Center. Sale and rebate ends 1-3. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
Please listen to this important announcement from Pfizer, the makers of Lipitor, atorvastatin calcium tablets. Pfizer may help you reduce the cost of your monthly Lipitor prescription. For eligible patients, Lipitor is available for as little as $4 a month with the Lipitor copay card. Terms and conditions apply. To learn more, please visit Lipitor.com. See our ad in Cooking Light magazine. Learn more at Lipitor.com or call 1-888-LIPITOR.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you. Then they say you're mad. Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome indeed. It is Friday, folks. One day before the Christmas Eve holiday. Christmas holiday, that is. Christmas Eve. Tomorrow, and just a pleasure to be with you. Why is it my voice decides to go all whacked out on me, as it's been fine all morning, just as I go on air. Go figure that one. But that's all right. We're here. We're here. We're happy to be here. We have a great show. I'm really excited about today's show. In this first hour, we've got a lot of stuff to try to get in. Jeff did a short interview yesterday with an organization that's trying to raise money for the hungry and the needy, and we're gonna check in with that in about 22 minutes after the hour with Martha Bain. So look forward to Jeff's interview then. In the 7 o'clock hour, this is part of the reason I'm very excited. My friend Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299, is going to be in studio with us for the majority of the hour. No rules. No preset agenda, no questions, just a labor leader and a fat guy with a good attitude. That would be me. And so we're going to look forward to that. 7:50, of course, Occupy Detroit occupies first shift. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, Joe DeSano will be with us, and we will round out the year, because today is our last live show of the year with Congressman Gary Peters. So we have a lot of really great stuff to look forward to. So let's just go ahead and get this thing going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Gratitude. It's simple, pure and simple gratitude to you. And I can think of no better way to end our year. I mean, we've been on since May, but, it's the end of the year. Gratitude. Gratitude towards the relationship we built. Gratitude toward the opportunities that we're providing. Gratitude towards the friendships we've made. Gratitude in every way, shape, and form that I can possibly be grateful. Because simply I am. There's great hope and trust in what we're doing. I'm so blessed. I am so blessed and filled with gratitude today toward everything that we are trying to accomplish as we work our way forward. Looking forward to an exciting and robust 2012. Gratitude towards my relationship with Anthony and Jeff. I think we've got a great team here. By the way, we exchanged gifts before the show today, which was really cool. Some cool stuff. So anyway, our first word today is gratitude. And this is truly, Jeff and A, gratitude to both of you. Thanks, guys, for us, it's been 7 months, Jeff, and I got to say a pretty awesome 7 months.
Quick 7 months.
Yeah, it did go by fast. No question about that. And looking forward, hope to have an announcement you know, sometime right after the first of the year about the future of the show. But for now, we take care of what we know we've got, and we've got till May, and we're going to take care of that. But a lot going on, and we have a lot going on today. So I don't have a lot of time to sit and just meander through what's going on, or we're never going to get it all in. So let's talk a little bit very quickly. Unfortunately, Red Wings lose last night to Calgary. They've lost now two in a row. Again, not the end of the world. It's still beginning of the season. But it is what it is. Ty Conklin was in goal last night. Didn't have it, period.
Yeah, tough loss. Second one in a row, so got to get through the holiday season. I mean, like I said, it's day by day. They'll win, they'll lose. I get more into it towards the end of the season, but I think they're going to be fine.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And then, of course, we have the NFL is playing the bulk of their games tomorrow, which is Saturday. Now, Anthony, did we ever determine if there is a Christmas Day game for sure, definitively?
Bears versus Packers.
All right. So that's do we know what time that game's on?
It's the night game.
That's the NFL's oldest rivalry.
Is it really?
Yeah. I think it's the oldest, and it's obviously the one that's played the most games.
I didn't know that.
In fact, I think a lot of the NFC North has the oldest rivalries.
Well, what are the implications of that one? The Green Bay wins. Do they sit some of their starters the last game of the season against the Lions or not?
No, I doubt that.
Okay.
I don't think they sit starters at all. But we talked about this earlier. If they lost a game, and they did, I don't think they go. It's not that they don't go 100% trying to get the win against Detroit, but you try to limit things. You don't try to put your people in position to get injured or to. I mean, they've already got Greg Jennings out now for a little while, so they gotta really watch themselves. I mean, like I said, you go for the first down, or do you pull up and walk out of bounds and punt the ball and just try and play the game like that? And that's how I think they go into that last game.
All right. Well, that actually can bode well for Detroit. But let's take a look at Detroit. They play, of course, this weekend tomorrow. Against the San Diego Chargers, and again, this is not a must win, but it sure would be a nice win. You don't want to back into the playoffs, and that's no way, in my opinion, to make the playoffs. Although I take it, not the way I want to do it. So, Anthony, we begin with you. Detroit, San Diego tomorrow, 4:05 p.m. on the Fox Network. What say you, sir?
I'll go 27-20 with a late rushing touchdown by the Lions to win the game.
Really?
Yep.
A late rushing touchdown?
Yeah, and combined, I want to say they'll have 120 yards on the ground as a team.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
He's getting into all kinds of predictions.
Yeah, I'm a little stunned, especially in the running game. But hey, I'll take the victory. Jeff, your thoughts?
High-scoring game. Both teams have very good offenses, and I think the Chargers are coming on lately. So I'm going to go. I don't know why it's the number 38 sticking in my head, but I'm going to go 45-38. Detroit pulls it out.
Wow. Okay. Well, then it comes to my prediction, and unfortunately, I see Detroit on the losing end of things tomorrow. In fact, I do see a high-scoring game, but I think San Diego is going to be the one that's going to be doing all the scoring. 38-14 San Diego.
Oh, the 38 stuck in your head, too.
Yeah, it sure
is. We both have San Diego at 38. It's just what Detroit's
scored. Right. I I know we're at home, and I know that should work in our favor. I'm telling you what's really, and Anthony, what's really stuck in my mind is how the Lions played without passion last Sunday. And I know they won, and that's what matters at the end of the day. But you have to agree, A, that game was passionless.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lack of emotion.
I mean, a total lack of emotion. So
it's almost like they were afraid to do too much because of what they've been doing the past couple of weeks, getting Sue back. Like, they tried to calm themselves down but didn't play their full potential.
Right, and that's a problem. And, you know, see, this, to me, and that's the problem when you are thinking about how you're playing the game instead of just playing the game, that's what happens. And so,
I think there's the West Coast thing played a part in it, too. It takes a lot out of you when you go three or four time zones to the left.
Do you really think it matters that much?
It seems to matter it seems to matter for a lot of Detroit teams. The Red Wings, when they first started West Coast trips, seem a little lethargic at first. But
I don't
the Tigers,
know.
When they play the Angels, You know, I mean, it does seem at first that there's the West Coast thing is a little real. I mean, you're so used to a certain schedule and routine, and then now all of a sudden now it's 3 hours faster.
All right. Well, again, I would think that, and part of that, there's just that part of my mind that goes, hey, you know, everybody's got to do it. Every team has this challenge, whether you're going from East Coast to West or West to East. Everybody's got to deal with it, and it doesn't seem to affect everybody that way, but whatever. All right. Well, those are our predictions for the Lions for tomorrow. I know that I'm just excited to watch the game. We will be at my sister-in-law's, Jeff, where I'm sure good food will be had by all. And very much looking forward to that. And then, of course, Sunday evening. Sunday evening. I did not know the Packers and Bears was the oldest rivalry, our oldest rivalry in football. And the implications of that, of course, matter to Detroit. Now, you know, again, when we talk about playoff possibility, are there like a million different scenarios how Detroit gets into this thing if they don't win?
It's... As of right now, there's still a lot of possibilities. None of them that are all real great. You know, obviously they win, they're in. They lose, they need help from a couple of teams. I mean, that's the simplistic way of going about it. I think, you know, Seattle even has a shot, but a lot of things would have to go in order for them to make the last spot in the playoffs.
All right. So let me ask you really quick before we get to the break here. I'll ask both you and Anthony. As of right now, who would you be shocked? Who would shock you if they didn't make the playoffs?
The Lions.
Lions? Anthony?
As the wild card spot?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Lions.
Lions, all right. So you guys are both thinking they deserve it?
Yeah, definitely. You know what I just came across my mind, and I kind of got into it yesterday with a friend, is I didn't realize, I guess I realized that the game's on Saturday, but it's Christmas Eve. I think there's going to be a power play at my aunt and uncle's house. Because I think the women will want to sit down and have a nice meal with family and talking. And they always, it seems like every year, the thought is, well, let's turn the TV off. And I think the guys this year, I mean, it's an important game, right?
There's no turning the TV off.
That's what I'm saying.
There's no turning the TV
off. This will be the deciding factor in whether we get to watch it or not, is how far guys want to argue with their wives on Saturday.
Well, I would think they are going to go to the mat on this one.
Let's hope so.
Thank you. Not watch the game. That's blasphemous. All right, we'll take a quick break here. When we come back, Jeff's interview, and I'll let it stand on its own, and then we'll talk about it on the other side. Folks, thank you for punching in this morning. This is our last live show of the year. Happy to be with you. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. A quick break. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Cindy Estrada, just wishing everyone happy holidays, all the listeners out there at First Shift and the Tony Trupiano Show.
Brighten your home for the holidays. Get $3 instant discounts on select energy-efficient LED light strings at participating Eco Hardware and the Home Depot stores. Visit DTEenergy.com/save energy.
Bonus round time. If you can't teach an old dog new tricks, what can you teach him?
Conversational French?
Correct.
Oh.
Gingerbread men are...
Gingerbread boys, all grown up.
Correct. Who lets you watch movies instantly on your Nintendo 3DS or on your TV through your Wii console?
Duh, Netflix.
Correct. Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Hey, did I just win that new car over there?
No, I didn't.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Exclusively at the Home Depot, save time and money with Behr Premium Plus Ultra Paint. It's an affordable paint and primer in one, and rated number one by a leading consumer study. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
I'm a teacher, and my kids keep me going all day. My feet needed help. I was using a gel insole when I heard about the ProFoot 2-ounce Miracle Insole.
Only the 2-ounce Miracle is made with custom-forming VitaFoam to keep your feet steady and comfortable. The 2-ounce Miracle insoles conform to the unique shape of your feet, just like custom orthotics. Plus, they cushion and support your feet for amazing comfort.
The lightweight 2-ounce Miracle insoles really help my feet.
Try the ProFoot 2-ounce Miracle insole, available at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and other fine stores.
Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
All right, welcome back to First Shift here on 1310 WDTW. And joining us now is Martha Bain. She is the author of Soup and Bread Cookbook, Building Community One Pot at a Time. She's also the founder of Soup and Bread, a weekly soup dinner and hunger relief fundraiser. Perhaps you've read her work in the Washington Post or Book Forum, Time Out Chicago, or even The Baffler. She's also was also the editor and writer for the Chicago Reader for over 10 years. Martha, thank you for joining us today on the show.
Thanks for having me.
The book is outstanding, well-designed, put together, very well-written, first of all, very eye-catching, and I thought it was laid out really well.
Thank you. I can't take credit for the layout, but I'm really happy with the way it turned out.
Yeah, what I like about it is that you mix in, you know, stories along with recipes. You know, for a guy like me who, you know, I've only known soup coming out of a can. So for me to read a cookbook, it was kind of odd, but I enjoyed the stories that went along with them. And then you even kind of matched the recipes with the stories.
Yeah, well, I have a background as a food writer, but I think that I've always been more interested in the stories behind the food that we're eating as opposed to I don't consider myself a culinary expert in terms of talking about the food. I like what it says about our culture and about our history and about the people who make it.
Well,
I really tried to get that through in the book.
Yeah, that brings up a good point about why did you choose soup? Like, what about soup helps build communities together?
I think soup has so many kind of practical and metaphoric benefits. It's an easy thing to cook for a crowd, so we do these community dinners in Chicago where we're serving like 100, 150 people. It's easy, so soup is an easy thing to transport and to serve to a large group of people. It's relatively affordable. It's very adaptable. You can do just about anything with soup. But it's also got these kind of associations of nurturing and, like chicken soup when you're sick that your grandma makes you, or the soup that you associate with sort of feeding people in times of trial, during the Depression, when we saw people going to soup kitchens. And that's definitely something that we've been trying to do with our project in Chicago, is make the connection between soup and community and hunger and sort of just taking care of the people around you.
That's a great point. The power of soup. Joining us, as I said, is Martha Bain. She is the author of Soup and Cookbook, Building Community One Pot at a Time. Do you have any inspiring soup-related stories that stand out for you when you were writing this book?
Came about because as I started doing this project in Chicago for the last couple years, people would start to come to me and tell me about their soup stories. And I hadn't really thought about soup that much when I first started working on this. But it seems like everyone has something to say about soup, and they would come and tell me, when I was little, we used to have a family soup dinner where once a month our entire extended family would get together and have soup. Or they would start telling me about other sort of social justice and community building projects that they had participated in around soup. Like in Detroit, for example, there's this project called Detroit Soup, and that's actually a chapter in the book where I came out to Detroit and talked to some people who were working on this, where it's a community of artists and sort of creative-minded people get together and have a soup dinner as a fundraiser, and people present their art projects at the fundraiser. And then the people who are eating the dinner vote on which art project they like the best, and whoever wins sort of wins the money that was raised at the event. And so they get, you know, maybe a couple $100 to take their art to the next level. So things like that I found really fascinating, and was really what made me think that, like, oh, well, there's actually more going on here than just food in a bowl.
Yeah, that was one of the things I liked about the book, obviously from being from this area, that you had a section written about coming to Detroit and working with the project there. But you recently were here as well, only a couple of weeks ago. Can you talk about your time here just a few days ago?
We came out to the Loving Touch Pool Hall in Ferndale, which is it's next to, owned by the Woodward Avenue Brewers. And I had never been out there before. The only time I'd been to Detroit previously was when I came out to do research for the book earlier this year. But we worked with the Woodward Avenue Brewers and the people at the Emery, which is a restaurant across the street, to do a soup and bread event. It was really fun. We had about six different soups from a variety of contributors, some other local restaurants. I kind of remember the names of them. I'm blanking. Ohm Cafe, the Emery. A local cook named Aaron Poyle, a couple of other places, and some really amazing bread from Avalon Bread. And it was just a very casual, you know, kind of low-key event where anybody who wanted to could come, have some soup, donate a couple dollars into our donations bucket, and then all the money we raised went to the Clean Earth Community Food Bank.
That's one of the cool things, too, about the tour that you're on, the book and everything, is that you really have partnered up with charities, and it's almost a very important part of this entire process that you're helping feed the hungry and have a social conscience with this book.
Yeah, that's a big driving force behind the project itself. In Chicago, we do this every week in the wintertime. So every week we partner with a different sort of neighborhood food pantry or local hunger relief organization. So we try to get like a diverse range of groups that we work with. And when we've been going around and doing these events in other cities, I've basically been tapping the people that we know in the other cities to say, like, hey, what's a good organization that you work with? Who do you think is doing good stuff in your area? With a focus on hunger relief and nutrition and things like that. So the people at the Woodward Avenue Brewers said, Gleaners is the place that you want to work with. They're great. So.
Yeah, definitely.
We went with.
We've had them on the show a couple of times, and very important, especially this time of year, but not only this time of year, but throughout the year as well.
And especially in the last couple of years, as the recession has really kind of gotten hooks into everybody. I'm sure you know that the need for supplemental food assistance is just kind of going through the roof in some areas, and it's shocking.
Really,
so we're trying to do what we can. You know, we are not, obviously we're not raising like the sort of the big, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars that sort of the large scale fundraising efforts do, but we do micro fundraising. And when we're talking about raising a couple $100 a week, and that couple $100 is going to go to a small neighborhood organization that realizes that it needs to buy peanut butter for its, you know, for its food pantry that week, it actually goes a long way. It's very, you know, direct action.
Yeah, I think you make a great point with that. We had another organization, Blessings in a Backpack, talk about that very same thing, mm-hmm. how you can really make a little bit go a long ways if you use it in the right way.
Exactly. So that's our goal.
So you also, I see you have a website, soupandbread.net. Is this where you can go to get the book?
You can get the book off of the website. If you just click on the picture of the book that's in the corner there, that'll take you to our publisher's website. The publisher is a Chicago-based publisher called Agate Publishing, and they're great, independent publishers, small, local organization. So, you know, we send the business their way. It's also available on Amazon and all sort of regular, all your normal book-buying outlets.
And like I said, it makes a great gift, especially for this time of holiday. It sends the right message. You're helping out. And it also is just a great looking book and fun to flip through. I mean, I'll tell you this. I didn't read straight through it, page one, two, and three. But I flipped, you know, around to different stories and seeing what you wrote about, especially looking for the section on Detroit.
Right.
And it's a very entertaining book, even though it's a cookbook.
Right. Well, again, I like the stories behind the food and the stories behind the people who bring the food. You know, since we've been doing this for so long in Chicago, we have a pretty solid network of people who've participated. So I really wanted to get that through in the book as well, like that these were all recipes that were coming from real people with their own real stories and backgrounds. So there's a little bit of information, you know, about each cook and little stories about where the soup comes from.
Well, and it's also a cookbook. Is there a favorite recipe in here that that you would like to maybe point out?
Oh, that's such a hard question to answer. I can't pick a favorite recipe. My father has a recipe in the book.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Which my father sent to me, and then I prepared the soup and brought it to the event. So that was, you know, really trying to create networks between all sorts of different people.
Well, it sounds like it's an important book, not only, you know, for the help it does in feeding the hunger, but also it means something to you, and it's something that you're pretty passionate about as well.
I am. It was a project that started out small, and it's grown and grown over the last couple of years, and I'm very excited to see what happens next.
Well, great. Check it out. Soupandbread.net is the website, and, of course, you can go to Amazon as well. Martha, thank you so much for taking the time out and joining us on First Shift today.
Thanks for having me.
Drive through McDonald's and try the Dollar Menu, featuring the meaty, melty McDouble with 100% beef and cheese, or the Golden McChicken. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
And joining us now is Cheryl Witten, the president of the Michigan Advisory Board for Blessings in a Backpack.
Blessings in a Backpack is a national organization. This teacher was concerned because she had kids in her school who came back from the weekend tired and hungry and by no means ready to learn. These children are on the free and reduced lunch program during the school week, but no one thought, what happens to these children when they go home on Friday? So came up with the very simple idea, let's pack a backpack with food to take home with them on Friday, and they would return their backpack on Monday to be refilled.
All right, so if I contact blessingsinabackpackmi.org, how do I get involved?
There is a page to make a donation, and then we as the Michigan Board will determine where the greatest need is.
Blessingsinabackpackmi.org.
Are you one of those 11th hour shoppers who's only now realizing that Christmas is this weekend? Well, don't panic, for Jim the Elf Hightower is here to help. All you need is a bushel basket of money and the Neiman Marcus catalog of Christmas goodies. As the catalog itself says up front, exceed all expectations with out of the ordinary presents your loved ones had no idea they wanted. For example, the Tom Burr table tennis table on page 65. This is not your common rec room ping pong table. It's a contemporary work of art sculpted by this whimsical artist from an unexpected material. Black rubber. How delightful is that? And practical, too, because, as artiste Burr himself explains, rubber makes the ball bounce. More bounce for your buck. Speaking of which, Burr's table tennis table goes for $45,000. But hurry, he only made 10 of them. But maybe you want something a little more down to earth. Neiman's has just the ticket for you with a back-to-the-earth trip to the Stone Barns Farm. It's a lush 80-acre complex with a bounty of crops and livestock, as well as a posh restaurant named Blue Hill. You're asked to gather 6 of your friends for this day trip, which will include, quote, a hands-on learning experience. It doesn't say whether that means milking goats, slaughtering a hog, mucking the barn, or what. But it's all yours for $9,500. What a deal. They get some work out of you, and you pay them. Only Neiman Marcus could sell that package. This is Jim Hightower saying there's so much more to choose from, like the $250,000 speedboat or the custom-made computer-activated dancing fountains for a cool $1 million. Isn't it good to know that even in this down economy, there's still a market for such pricey baubles? So get out there and shop. Wall Street is counting on you.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown.
the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671. Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And absolutely, Jeff, thanks for a great interview. Martha sounded like a really wonderful person. And so anyway, I just want to thank you for sharing her with us.
It was a fun interview. And the thing that she does out in Chicago every week, free soup, free bread. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know how. I guess they go on donations, but a very cool thing that she's got going on. So.
Well, what I like about it is the micro aspect to it. This isn't about, you know, raising, you know, tons of dollars. And as she pointed out, you know, any charity can make $200 go a long way.
Right, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, when you're giving away free soup and bread and relying on donations, you'll take anything you can get. But she makes a good point of, you know, every little bit helps. And sometimes I think, you know, people will say, well, what's the point if it's only a little bit? And you're seeing that with, you know, with Congress, you know, it's some of the decisions they make, or at least the reasoning behind why they make their decisions. It's not enough. Well, every little bit counts.
Absolutely, it surely does. All right, well, listen, it's incumbent upon us to mention that there was an agreement reached late in the day yesterday between the Congress and the White House on the payroll tax cut, and a successful agreement. Let's listen to a little audio from CNN.
And so I saw the president out yesterday doing his Christmas shopping. I saw he brought his dog with him. You know, we're here. He could bring his dog up here. We are pet friendly. And, you know, again, it will not take a long time. We could probably resolve the differences within an hour. That's why we're here, to say, let's do this, as the speaker said. Let's avoid any more uncertainty. Let's try and avoid another one of these difficult moments within 60 days so we can get on about the business of putting in place factors for a better economy and job creation.
I told the president there's one big reason why we need to do a full year. And that's jobs. A one-year bill, like the president requested and like the House produced, is simply better for jobs and better for our economy. A one-year bill provides, on average, about $1,000 for American workers, as opposed to the Senate bill, which would provide a measly $166. As importantly, a one-year bill would provide certainty for American employers as they begin to plan for next year. Two-month extension only perpetuates the uncertainty that too many employers already have in dealing with the economy and what's coming out of Washington. The fact is, we can do better. Americans are still asking the question, where are the jobs? It's time for us to sit down and have a serious negotiation, solve this problem so that American workers don't see their taxes go up in January. We need people to sit down and work with. We're not going to sit here and negotiate with ourselves. That's why Senator Reid ought to appoint a conferees from the Senate side so that we can sit down and resolve our differences and do so quickly.
Thanks. Wow. If John Boehner, Jeff, would just do what he just said in that clip, if they would just do that, we would be okay. I mean, he makes it sound like, you know, the Democrats aren't willing to sit down and have this discussion. It's the Republicans that aren't. I mean, listen, the bottom line is the Republicans lose big time. I mean, they lose the public relations war. No question that's true. Ultimately, it ends up where it should have been anyway. And, yeah, it does require more negotiation moving forward. But we knew that going in.
Well, we played the video sound yesterday, and we put the video on our Facebook page about the speaker walking out, Speaker 10, but still walking out when the Democrats wanted to have a discussion about this.
Right. Well, you know, that's Well, you know, again, they lose the PR war, and in politics, the PR war matters, by the way. I'm sure you're all aware of that. You know, go back to that graphic we also posted that showed that 94% of the people placed the blame on the impasse on Speaker Boehner. And so, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. All right. Listen, folks, President Obama has had his hands full. There's no question that some people are profoundly unhappy with him. Others, not so much. But how about those within the Democratic Party, those progressives that are having a real challenge trying to decide for themselves what do we do? And this actually came up in my speech the other afternoon at Roseville High School. You know, yes, I'm going to vote to reelect the President of the United States. Of course I'm going to do that. And it's not because he's the lesser of other evils, which, of course, would factor into that. Somebody has put together a, and we're going to share a little bit of it with you, somebody has put together a little video clip of why they're not disappointed in this president. Let's listen to just a few minutes of this.
Over the past couple of years, I've begun to feel more and more like a voice in the wilderness when talking with my fellow left-wing Democrats. I'm that little voice saying, I'm not disappointed. I do not feel disappointed by President Obama. I'm not disappointed by a president who signed the most important piece of social legislation in 45 years, providing health care coverage to 30 million Americans in need of it. I'm not disappointed by a president who eliminated a terrorist who had tormented the American psyche for 10 years. I'm not disappointed by a president who, while disrupting Al-Qaeda, has transformed U.S. relations with the Muslim and Arab worlds. In revolutions from Tunisia to Egypt, from Libya to Syria, I haven't seen a single image of an American flag being burned. That would have been unimaginable before 2009. I'm not disappointed by a president who has named two women, including a wise Latina, to the Supreme Court. I'm not disappointed by a president who did away with the twisted don't ask, don't tell policy in the military. I am not disappointed by a president who has tried to maintain civility with a hostile political opposition, a president who has maintained the dignity of the office and sought constructive compromise. I am not disappointed by a president who is a shrewd, pragmatic man of reason who views politics as the art of the possible. And I'm not disappointed because I've always accepted a simple truth about Barack Obama. Barack Obama is a politician. This is something that Democrats could always accept about Bill Clinton and about Hillary Clinton as well. But there was something about Barack Obama's soaring rhetoric and incandescent charisma that led people to see him as a figure like Mahatma Gandhi or the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. But Gandhi and Dr. King never ran for public office. It's not just Americans who had this sort of idealized vision. Even President Obama himself felt that his Nobel Peace Prize was somewhat premature. It is with great admiration that I say President Obama is a realist. If the election of 2008 was about hope and change, I think we have to acknowledge that the election of 2012 is about cold, hard realities. President Obama, the man of reason, is confronted by Republicans who are so deranged by his very presence in the White House that they have pushed their agenda into the far reaches of right-wing irrationality. In his recent press conference, the president said, and I quote, I have gone out of my way in every instance, sometimes at my own political peril and to the frustration of Democrats, to work with Republicans, to find common ground, to move this country forward.
And that's where I think I'm going to stop it, because that is the key. It's beautifully put together, by the way, and I'll find the link and place it on the Facebook page later on today. But that's the key, that this president has gone to extraordinary measures, frustratingly so for those of us on the left, to cooperate with Republicans to a net effect, the net zero effect. That's been the frustration for the vast majority of this. And so as I look at those that throw criticism at this president, I'm mindful of what he's had to endure the last 3 years. And it seems to me that if we are to be honest and have an honest dialogue, especially those that are on the right, not even the extreme right, just the right in general, and all, and then of course to take that to any extent that you want to, but those on the right have to be, if they're going to be honest about this dialogue, they do need to admit that the right has been unnecessarily harmful to this man by the name of Barack Obama, who just happens to be the president of the United States of America. They have been rude to him at great lengths, and they treat him with a certain disdain that has been reserved for no one in the history of this fine office. Even George W. Bush, who earned the disrespect of the American people, got more respect than this president sometimes gets. It makes you wonder where our priorities are, number one. And those of you that want to continue to tell me that this is not about the color of the man's skin, and it just makes me scratch my head and say, truly, are we looking at the same thing? And obviously we're not. You all want to say that this is about policy and policy alone, that you just disagree with the man. And it has nothing to do with race. And that may be true for some of you. I'll give you that. Absolutely. But for the vast majority of us that want progress, we begin to really wonder, what is it that you want? Because it's obviously not progress. So what is it that you want? Really well done piece, and I'm glad whoever that guy is that did it again later on today when I'm back in my office and I can find that. Oh, it's up there? Oh, the link's up there. Never mind. Shame on me. It's there. Go enjoy it. I am not disappointed in President Obama. That is the way that it is titled. That is what you will find. When we come back, Governor Rick Snyder does a little web video. What do you think? Wait till you hear it, and then what will you think about it? Stay with us. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
Hi, this is Chris Mihalakis from the United Food and Commercial Workers, wishing you happy holidays.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Recently on First Shift.
Just joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Truppiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
All right, 10 minutes before the top of the hour, before we get to this, this video from Governor Snyder's web video on the Detroit and what's happening with the emergency financial manager. Want to remind you folks that at 8:50 this morning, Congressman Gary Peters will be with us to talk to us about the payroll tax cut that will be passed, and his thoughts on that. So I don't want to think we're just glossing over it. We've got the congressman joining us a little bit later on in the show today, and we will look forward to that as well. Now, Jeff, real quickly, this audio that you found, or this video that you found from Governor Snyder, this was something that he just did on his own, right?
From the video, yeah, it looks like he's in front of a normal camera. I mean, just a high def camera, I guess, and then with a background. So it's something that he just wanted to sit in front of the camera and kind of get some thoughts out, and posted it online right away.
So. All right, and which is interesting. So we're going to play some and stop it and comment. But here we go. Let's get it started.
Hi, this is Governor Rick Snyder. And I thought it appropriate, given all the questions and issues coming up on Detroit, I spend a couple minutes talking about the city and how we want to help the city. Now, the city should be responsible for itself. The mayor and the city council are responsible for running the city. Our role is to be a supporting resource. And when you look at this process that when you hear about emergency managers and everything else, my goal is to ever avoid having to employ an emergency manager. That's a failure point. And one of the things we did when we revised the statute, and this statute goes back to Governor Blanchard, in terms of going back 20 years or so, is we actually put in an early warning system to say, how can we work with communities to avoid the situation of having an emergency manager? So that's why we put in the process of preliminary reviews, consent agreements, ways to work together. So these are very important questions, and we're going through that process. And I really want to encourage the mayor and city council to partner together, to come up with a plan that we can join in and we can all work together on achieving. This isn't a time to be divisive. This is a time to be inclusive, where all the parties come together for a common solution. And I'm always going to encourage that outlook and philosophy. Now, in terms of the issues themselves, I view there are two critical issues that do need to be addressed. One, there's a short-term cash issue. We can't have the city run out of money. And hopefully the city can come up with a program to get through the crisis the mayor has talked about potentially running out of cash in April. The second issue is a very difficult one, which is a long-term structural solution. Because we can't continue this process. Detroit's been a financial crisis in some fashion for decades. Let's get a long-term structural solution so we can focus on all the good things going on in Detroit.
All right, let's stop it there. Now, Jeff, clearly the part of the disconnect here is we know that some years back there was a deal made. And that deal said that if the city of Detroit would, collect, taxes, payroll taxes from non-residents, or would stop doing that, that the city would give them a bigger revenue share. We know that number to be $220 million. The governor, Governor Snyder, doesn't address that at all. The city of Detroit is clearly owed that money. It doesn't matter who made the promise. The promise was made, and the promise was broken, and the state of Michigan owes the city of Detroit $220 million. Now, I realize, Jeff, it doesn't solve the problem, the larger structural problem that the governor talks about, which is a legitimate problem. But it does beg the question, Jeff, would that $220 million help them in the short term? And the answer to that question is absolutely yes.
Exactly. The reason why he said he didn't why they weren't going to give Detroit the money is because it doesn't help solve the problems. And yet he lists one of the problems as short-term cash, which that would solve that part of the problem, one of the two problems you're presenting.
Absolutely. So, all right, let's go on.
Until this recent crisis, I was proud. Every time when people would ask me about Detroit, the first things that I would start talking about is the housing rate in Midtown Detroit, about it being 98% occupied. Talking about good things going on in the city rather than having to dwell on these negative financial issues. I want to get back to that. And so we do need a long-term structural solution that takes into account the liabilities, the other things that need to happen. But the fundamental thing we need to do is create an environment where Detroiters can have a good life. And that gets down to some basic services. And we need to make sure those basic services are being provided consistently for the long term, because that's not happening today. And what do I mean by these basic services? One, we need to do a better job of helping people find jobs. We're working on it at that state level with mitalent.org, our new portal, but we need to work harder in Detroit to say, how do we connect people with appropriate positions? Not just jobs, but careers. But then you keep going down that list. We need a school where kids can safely walk to school and get a good education, to know there are teachers and administrators focused on student growth. We need to make sure the lights are on, the street lights are on, that the trash is being picked up. And very importantly, we need to make sure there's good public safety, where there's police and fire coverage. When people call, there's a response. And one of the last ones that's also created a lot of controversy is we need to have public transit. I've been a big advocate of public transit all across Michigan, because many people in Michigan that have cars don't understand how critically important it is. It's the way that many people get to their job or get to school and have a good opportunity. So we're focused on all those ideas.
All right, let's stop again. All of this involves money the city of Detroit doesn't have. And so I'm not quite sure why he's enumerating it in the way he's doing it, perhaps so that when they go in to take over under the Emergency Financial Manager Law, Public Act 4, that he will have then built some kind of foundational argument for it. That's what I'm guessing what he's doing here. Certainly because of the lack of revenue sharing and the way they changed that equation, police and fire had to be let go. I mean, you know, they have to save money, and that's the way, it's one of the ways that they had to demonstrate that.
Didn't it seem weird or odd or almost like a slap in the face for him to mention education? You have to have good schools when really isn't that the biggest thing? Is he's attacking teachers in school?
Well, yeah. I mean, they've attacked education in a fundamentally profound way. We had John Duffy on yesterday from the Michigan Education Association talking about that very issue. Jeff, they've just allowed for an increase of charter schools without addressing the fundamental changes that need to be made in the public schools. He said, you know, they need a school, and I'm thinking that was just didn't dialogue about that properly, because I don't think he meant a school, you know, that people can safely, children can safely walk to. That's a little Pollyanna-ish for me, because that doesn't deal with the fundamental truth, which is, you know, why aren't we asking teachers what it would take to strengthen the schools? Anyway. But that's all we're going to have time to get to right now. But folks, if you've not seen this story, we did post it to Facebook yesterday. The Reverend Jesse Jackson, amongst other leaders in the Detroit community, including Occupy Detroit, has come forward and said, under no uncertain terms are they just going to allow this to happen, that there will be a civil disobedience if they appoint an emergency financial manager. We have Shannon McEvely on with Occupy Detroit at 7:50. Perhaps we've got some audio that deals with that. Perhaps we can get to the audio then. Hey, my buddy Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299, in the next hour. Again, unscripted, just two guys talking about the future of Southeast Michigan. I want to encourage you to join us. We're going to take a quick break here. I'm going to fill up my coffee, and we'll continue right after we do this.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on DTE Energy.com/save energy.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today. Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift at Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, Congress is actually expected to vote on a bill today to extend the payroll tax cut. House Speaker John Boehner says he and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid have come to terms on a deal to extend it for 2 months. The bill's about the same the Senate approved earlier that House Republicans rejected.
It may not have been politically the smartest thing in the world, but let me tell you what. I think our members waged a good fight.
Boehner and the House Republicans wanted to extend the tax cut for a full year. Boehner caved to political pressure. CNN political analyst David Gergen says he saw the writing on the wall.
There's this old Kenny Rogers line that you have to know when to hold him and when to fold him. And it became increasingly obvious, I think, to Speaker Boehner he had to fold.
Two suicide car bombs exploded outside two of Syria's security branches in Damascus today. CNN's Mohammed Jamjoum is following developments from Cairo.
What we know from Syrian state media is that the bombers targeted the state security directorate and another security branch. And even though a number of military and civilian casualties were reported, according to state media, they have not announced how many are wounded and how many have died.
A series of earthquakes struck New Zealand near the city of Christchurch today. They caused damage and disruption in an area still recovering from a powerful quake earlier this year. John Gerritsen with Radio New Zealand says people have been on edge ever since February's quake.
No one's been killed, but there have been some injuries from this quake, and some buildings that were already damaged are understood to have collapsed further.
Here's one for you if you're a coffee fanatic. A controversial new product lets you inhale your morning jolt. AeroShots. It's a caffeine inhaler. It's currently on sale in France and online. It's scheduled to hit the U.S. store shelves January 1st in New York and Boston. But New York Senator Chuck Schumer wants more research.
They have written to the FDA. They should check it out, see if it has negative consequences, and don't let it go on the shelves until it is thoroughly checked out.
Schumer says the U.S. debut of the product should be postponed. This is CNN Radio.
What's at the top of our holiday wish list? More time to cross stuff off our lists. Hurry into Sears Auto Center to save big on all top tire brands and get an extra $70 via mail-in rebate on 4 qualifying Michelin tires. Plus, get any service and we'll give you a $5 Sears coupon to help you tackle the rest of your holiday shopping list while you wait. Go to SearsAuto.com for more money-saving offers and coupons. That's real convenience for real drivers. Sears Auto Center. Sale and rebate ends 1-3. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
Please listen to this important announcement from Pfizer, the makers of Lipitor, atorvastatin calcium tablets. Pfizer may help you reduce the cost of your monthly Lipitor prescription. For eligible patients, Lipitor is available for as little as $4 a month with the Lipitor copay card. Terms and conditions apply. To learn more, please visit Lipitor.com. See our ad in Cooking Light magazine. Learn more at Lipitor.com or call 1-888-LIPITOR.
It is a good time to be a procrastinator. For those not yet finished with holiday gift shopping, there's good news as time runs out. Many chains looking to lower inventory levels while the selling is good are slashing prices. Mall stores like Gap, Abercrombie & Fitch, Talbots, American Eagle, and Ann Taylor promoting store-wide discounts of 40 to 60%. Toys R Us is holding a buy one, get one half off on some popular toys like Legos. But there are some sticky fingers as we head into the holiday. The Global Retail Theft Barometer, a survey of retailers worldwide, predicts that during the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, an estimated nearly $2 billion in merchandise will be shoplifted this year. That's a 6% rise from a year ago. Busy stores often lead to shoplifting, but this year the economy is playing a role too. Wall Street looking up on this final trading day ahead of a three-day holiday weekend. It is a full session for Wall Street as the market gets news on consumer income and spending, among other reports. S&P futures higher by 6, NASDAQ up 8. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Please listen to this important announcement from Pfizer, the makers of Lipitor, atorvastatin calcium tablets. Pfizer may help you reduce the cost of your monthly Lipitor prescription. For eligible patients, Lipitor is available for as little as $4 a month with the Lipitor copay card. Terms and conditions apply. To learn more, please visit Lipitor.com. See our ad in Cooking Light magazine. Learn more at Lipitor.com or call 1-888-LIPITOR.
There's nothing like a ghost story around a campfire, and I've got one that's not for the faint of heart. Once there was a camper who did not insure his RV with Geico. He didn't listen when fellow campers told him how much money Geico saved them by insuring their campers, trailers and pop-ups, or how he could save even more with a multi-policy discount. The camper paid dearly for his mistake. He paid out the nose, poor chap. Well, good luck getting to sleep after that doozy of a tale.
Call Geico or visit geico.com today to see how much our multi-policy discount could save you.
What you're about to hear are the real experiences of women over 40 who finally lost weight by becoming hormonally balanced again.
I'm actually slim. Me, slim.
I can fit in my skinny jeans again.
I look in the mirror now, and I love what I see.
Their secret is Amberin, the revolutionary formula for women over 40 that balances hormones. The leading cause of weight gain over 40 is hormonal imbalance. Until you balance your hormones, losing weight can be practically impossible. But Amberin restores hormonal balance naturally, so you can finally lose the weight, even that stubborn belly fat. Plus, Amberin eliminates other symptoms of hormonal aging, like hot flashes, night sweats, low libido, difficulty concentrating, and more. Be one of the first 50 callers right now, and they'll send you a complimentary risk-free trial with a 30-day supply. Free. Just cover shipping and handling. Call 1-800-727-6323. That's 1-800-727-6323. 1-800-727-6323.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. And that question is, are you ready for change? And if you are, are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
Well, get ready, because that's the way it is. Second of 3 hours, just 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Friday morning program. This is our last live program of the year. I do have my guest in studio. I'm going to get to him in just a moment. I quickly, though, want to take a call, wrap up some business from the last hour. So let's just go ahead and do that. Theo in Detroit joins me now. Theo, Merry Christmas to you. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fantastic. Merry Christmas to you as well. I wanted to first tell you, you talked about movies, and I didn't get a chance to share this with you. Affair to Remember with Cary Grant is excellent. So if you get a chance, if you haven't seen it, please do. As it relates to the city of Detroit and the governor, it seems that he wants to outline issues that have not happened and issues that he projects. In other words, he wants to put scenarios in the minds of people so that if he comes in, we will be remembering things that are totally absurd. The Blue Cross, as an example, receives $300 million from the city, and other prominent insurance companies have said they would pay a third, I mean, charge a third less. There's not been any movement towards accepting that, and you have to wonder if there are those who are receiving a what they call a kickback.
Yeah, kickback. Well, Theo, let me thank you for your call. I appreciate that. I will tell you this: the what's going to solve the city's problems are not something that we're going to be able to solve in the next 2 minutes. Number one, number two, when the governor, as you said, when he puts something out there in a futuristic sense, I think he's setting us up for something, as I said in the last hour. What he's setting us up for, I don't know. I don't trust the guy, and that's the bottom line. But, Theo, thanks so much for your call. Let me turn my attention now to my good friend Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299. Merry Christmas to you, my friend. Thank you for agreeing to come in. We got a lot of time to fill today, but I have a feeling that, like always, it won't be enough time. So thank you so much, Kevin, for coming
in. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Tony, I couldn't think of a better way to end my year to be on the first shift with you. and speaking to the people that are going to make a difference in 2012.
Now, we're going to talk about making a difference in 2012, amongst a lot of other things. But let's focus for a moment on last weekend. The Teamsters, along with a lot of volunteers, came together at the temple to fill some gift baskets to help a lot of people that are in need this time of year. Tell us a little bit about that program. This is, of course, not the first time that you guys have done this.
No, we've been doing it for the last 13 years. We help feed the needy families in our community, along with the partnership with Roger Robinson of the USCW, the unions downtown Detroit, the Metro AFL-CIO, and the ultimate partner is Gleaners Food Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And we fed 750 families, and then we had food that was actually left over, and we took about 300 pounds of food to Occupy Detroit folks to make sure that they had food to get through the cold spell that's about to come before us. But I can't thank, hard-working men and women. I mean, we had our truck drivers after working 60 hours a week that took their time to help load the food, bring the food down. Our Teamster families and union families help build these baskets. But I think the most important thing that we all need to be aware of is when I started this 15 years ago, we were feeding the needy families. Well, now in 2011, the needy families are becoming union households.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a shock that the parallel they're trying to set is we're feeding middle-class people, and that's the bar they want to set. And so I urge everybody that if you have anything to give to your community, your schools, your churches, your firemen, your police officers, give. If it's just your time, give back to your community because it'll reward you.
Well, you know, we of course have talked a lot this week, and Kevin, in a disappointing fashion, I wish that I could say I've been able to deliver a lot of really nice news this week. I haven't, and even as of although we did get the tax. The payroll tax agreement through yesterday, late in the day. There's been a lot of negative things going on. The last year have been very difficult, and let's just take politics out of it. For good, hard-working middle-class families, they have found that this race to the bottom has become very real for them. And, you know, you said you fed 750 families. You know, think 15 years ago, who would have thought? I mean, if I would have told you 15 years ago that there'd be 750 families, you'd said, no way, that's not possible. And it was wonderful that you had a little bit of food left over. But you and I both know that next year you'll probably feed 1,000 families because now more people know that this opportunity is available to them. Of course, you're going to be there for these folks. But the point is, and you make it, really, we're feeding middle class families are now the needy families, and it's true.
Absolutely. I think, the ironic part of this thing is we fed 750 families, but we probably could have fed 5,000. But some of our families are humble and they don't want to come and actually reach out and ask for help. The 750 families is just a microcosm of what's out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And on the same day did a similar thing with UAW Local 174 out in Romulus, and where we fed 250 families. And again, that's been the greatest year of need for them. And of course, there's no lack of social service agencies that have names. But again, this idea, Kevin, think about the idea that, you know, for years of being a proud worker, I mean, you know, being a good middle-class family, being a proud worker, all of a sudden needing that. I don't know that I could do it. I don't know that I could take it. I mean, can you imagine having to? I mean, I'm blessed that I'm not in that situation, but I don't know that I could ask.
I don't think I could either. But the most important part about this, Tony, is it humbles me. I am very blessed. I am honored to be a labor leader in this community. I live every day of my life for the middle class America. I wake up every morning listening to you in the morning. I go to bed at night thinking, what can I do tomorrow to try to make a difference? And if everybody had just our ideas, just to take a little 10% of your day and just put it, what can you do to help make sure that there is a middle class in America that is not going to be a dead dinosaur in 5 years if we're not paying attention?
But how do you respond to this Republican idea, Kevin? More that, you know, listen, let's let the free market reign. Let's let business decide the way that we should let, you know, the society should unfold. you know, we'll hire when we have a need, and the people that don't have jobs, well, they're just not working. They're just not doing it hard. They're not looking hard enough. If they were, they'd be working. Because that's basically what they're saying, and that's the reason why they're cutting benefits, and that's the reason why they're taking welfare away, and that's the reason why, you know, they're doing a lot of things. They're saying that we just, the poor, those that are needy, are just not trying hard enough, Kevin.
Well, it's just ludicrous that to actually we're accepting that, though, Tony. Middle-class America has buried their head in the sand and said that the one percenters of this country are going to dictate how our children are educated, how our jobs are performed, how we feed our families. I mean, it's our fault. I mean, we need to wake up and get your head out of your butt, wake up in the morning and say, what can I do? Can I register to vote? Can I make sure that my mother and father and my sister, my daughter, my sons are registered to vote? Can I get off the couch and go vote? Not sit at home and say, oh, well, it's raining, I can't go vote. They give us, they malign us with all this rhetoric, and we buy into it. And middle-class America in this country now is thinking that's what's accepted of us. We have the votes. They have the money. When are we going
to
wake up?
Yeah, well, you know, it goes back to, and I had a caller months ago calling the show and said, and it's the simplest idea, and of course it's true. There are more of us than there are of them.
Absolutely.
And that's basically what you're saying, is that there are more of us than there are of them, and yet they continue to win for whatever reason. And I think that reason is obvious, is there's this apathy, as you're talking about getting up off the couch and voting. You know, we play that commercial every day on this show, three or four times a day, you know, to register to vote, because I really believe that there are a lot of people that are sitting on the couch, Kevin, that don't understand how critical that one vote is. I mean, it's mandatory. It should be mandatory to vote. And then we take a look at what happened in 2010 and how many union households voted Republican, which were a lot. And you begin to wonder why, you know, and you know, tough way to learn the lesson. I'm hoping that those same union households get it and will turn that around in 2012, of course.
Well, I mean, I am shocked, and we did a poll through the Teamsters Union nationally, how many of our working class Teamsters are voting Republican for simple wedge issues, guns. I mean, give me a break. There's no party going to take guns away from
Absolutely
society
not.
In this country.
Absolutely.
But a wedge issue leads a gun leads their issue over jobs and money and educating your children. I mean, it's almost ludicrous the way middle class society is following this train of the one percenters.
So let me ask you, we've got to take a break in just a minute here. So maybe we'll get to the answer. But let me get the question out now, and then we'll get to the answer after the break. As you reach out to your membership, as any labor leader that's listening to the show reaches out to their membership in 2012, how do you get around those wedge issues? Whether that's you know, the gay marriage or a woman's right to choose or Second Amendment, the gun issues. How do you do that? We'll get to that after the break. Kevin Moore is my guest. He is president of Teamsters Local 299, but he also has another distinction, which we'll get to after the break, a recent labor electoral issue, victory, I should say, and we'll let Kevin tell you all about that on the other side. Also, feel free to join us. We'd love to hear from you folks. 888-552-3595. This is First Shift. I am Tony Trupiano. Happy holidays to you. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We will be right back.
Hey, it's Jeff, producer of this fine radio program you're listening to right now. I want to wish everyone a happy and safe holiday season, and thanks for listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Wintertime driving can be hazardous, especially for newly licensed teen drivers. Visit Ford Driving Skills for Life's award-winning website at drivingskillsforlife.com for great safe driving tips.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Bonus round time. If you can't teach an old dog new tricks, what can you teach him?
Conversational French?
Correct.
Oh.
Gingerbread men are...
Gingerbread boys, all grown up.
Correct. Who lets you watch movies instantly on your Nintendo 3DS or on your TV through your Wii console?
Duh, Netflix.
Correct. Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Hey, did I just win that new car over there?
No, I did.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
All right, let's welcome Brian to First Shift.
I wanted to call in and talk about the comments somebody criticizing the station for being a tiny station.
Yeah, the Detroit Free Press today ran an article that they referred to it as a tiny radio station.
It proves that ignorance is indeed profound. Because of the internet and because of the smartphones, I'm listening to you from Fall River, Massachusetts, the home of freedom and independence and a progressive mind.
First Shift with Tony Trivino
on 1310. WDTW.
Good things come to those who wait, like Macy's last-minute gift sale with 25 to 60% savings, plus an extra 15 or 10% off with your Macy's card or pass. Diamond accent hoops or freshwater pearl studs, $99. Sweaters for him and her, 40 to 50% off. Sleepwear, 40% off. Massagers from Sharper Image, Homedics, and Conair, 50% off. Time's running out. Hurry into Macy's. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. Kevin Moore, my guest, president of Teamsters Local 299. We had presented the question before the break, how do we get your membership, not just your membership, but union membership engaged, those especially that may be voting Republicans because of those wedge issues that you mentioned. How do we get them engaged, but get them engaged on the Democratic side of it?
Well, I think it's constant education. I know we have monthly membership meetings. We do phone banking and letters to our members. You have to constantly educate and just tell them the facts and the truth. More people hide behind, they don't want to put on their shield and say, you know, we have to be in the forefront and expose the lies that are being spread. You know, they have the money. They have, unlike this radio show that we have, we're the only one. You are the only voice of middle class working families and union families. They have the Rush Limbaughs, the Glenn Becks. These guys spill.
Yeah, we can go on and
they
on
spill
and on.
Garbage because they have the money, the cash. They run. They run the industry. But if you educate your families and your members every week, every month, slowly but surely, you can change that dynamic.
Well, I agree, Kevin. Education is important. We're going to come back to that. I did want to mention though, you recently. decided to make a deeper commitment to the labor community, and you ran for an international position with the Teamsters. Tell us, the audience, a little bit about that.
Well, our general president, Jim Hoffa, asked me to run for an executive office position nationally on his executive board. I was very honored and humbled that he'd asked me. I made the commitment, and I traveled the country with him, and our team was successful. We had to travel every state in the country. We have 1.4 million members, and you have to see them to ask for the vote. You can't just do it by sitting behind a desk. You got to go see them, shake their hand, listen to their issues. And I was very proud that our team won almost at a mandate. Almost 70% of the membership in the Teamsters Union voted for the Jim Hoffa, Ken Hall slate, and I'm honored to have another challenge in my life.
Now, what does that what does that require of you? I happen to know that you're a very dedicated family man. You love your family a great deal. I've known, and again, I'll tell the audience for disclosure, Kevin and I have known each other for over 10 years. And we met as dads. That's how we originally knew each other. We had no idea what each of us did for a long time. What does this mean to you? From a professional standpoint, what does it mean?
I will be sitting on the executive board for the International Teamsters Union, which is based out of Washington, D.C. It just expounds my expansion of the union that goes nationwide now instead of just the state of Michigan.
So you'll have a more direct voice in the issues
Absolutely.
That they get involved
I'll be a part,
in?
I'll be a part of the decision making and the process from ground zero to the top, which is, it's a great challenge. I'm very much looking forward to it. I'm a proactive kind of guy, and I try to want to make a difference. When I leave, I'll hope to God that the people look back and say, at least he tried to make a difference.
Well, this certainly is a big step in that direction, Kevin. Of course, this is a lot of responsibility, but it doesn't take away from the time you have to spend here locally and the issues and the membership that you have. Speak a little bit about your membership and who they represent, because people think Teamsters, they think truck drivers. It's not just truck drivers, though.
Oh, no. The Teamsters Union has dramatically changed its demographics. We have people from maintenance workers all the way to airline pilots. We have, you know, truck drivers, warehousemen, UPS, nurses, doctors. Our union is so multifaceted now, and I think that's what railroad workers, we've have a blend of middle class union families that cover from coast to coast, every demographic that's out there, and I'm very proud of how Jim Hoffa, my general president, our general president, has changed the dynamics of the Teamsters Union. He lives and breathes it every single day, and so our union, I say we represent them from the streets to the White House.
There you go.
And that's exactly how we look at it. Every person should have a voice and opportunity to be in the union. And if you want one, we're going to be there.
Another group that you represent happen to be bridge workers. Let's talk a little bit about the proposed bridge. We last time we had you here, we mentioned the Maroon family. You think that they're being a little vilified in the media. You have a little different perspective on them. In fact, if I'm wrong, you'll tell me. You think they're the right people to build a new bridge?
Well, I think that if they want to stop talking about building a bridge and actually build one. I have 100 Teamster people, families that work on the bridge, the Ambassador Bridge, that have the best health care out of any contract I have in my local union, and I have 140 contracts under my local union. They have great health care. They have great wages. The new bridge, can Governor Center tell me that he's not going to make them scab workers on the bridge, pay them minimum wage? No. They're talking about building a bridge. They're going to keep us locked up in court for the next 10 years, and neither side's going to build a bridge. I say, who's ever going to build a bridge, cut them loose, let them build a bridge, and we'll deal with it after that. I think Governor Snyder's hiding behind because he wants to, and Canada's a part of this program.
Right.
Canada doesn't want a private citizen owning the bridge. And myself, I don't care if state builds a bridge or Manny Maroon builds a bridge. I just know that the relationship 299 has had with Manny Maroon and the bridge, we've had great wages, great working conditions, and great health care and pension. And that's important to me. The other stuff is bureaucracy that they just want to keep throwing out to us, and who's going to pay it. At the end of the day, you and I, our taxes, we're going to pay it anyway.
No, and you know, and that's of course that's been the challenge is who is really paying for this thing. And it's interesting because, you know, I could say at some level the Maroon family hasn't done themselves a lot of favors from a public relations standpoint. They keep on, you know, sticking their the stick. And I understand that there's a lot financially. There's a lot at stake for them, and I get that. Could they have done this a little differently? Yeah, but I think people are shocked when they hear that. What a great contract you have because of the way they've painted themselves. They haven't painted themselves as being a great corporate citizen, but the way you talk about them, they are. And so it's that you know, it's a little bit shocking to hear that they are such a good corporate citizen.
Well, I value what they give back to our employees, our members. Do I agree with how they're vilifying themselves, you know, publicly? No, but I'm not in charge of their press operation.
No.
If I was, I'd fire half of them.
Fair enough.
On the other side, the governor and the right-wing Republicans in the House are trying to vilify this guy like he is a martyr and he doesn't share and provide for middle-class families. I have multiple contracts in this town with Manny Maroon, and they're all good union jobs with benefits and health care that exceed most contracts I have out there.
That's amazing. Well, that's great to hear. I mean, it really is great to hear. And of course, I think of how many jobs, Kevin, will be, and I don't care how short term they are, how many jobs will be created by commitment to building the bridge and then just let's break ground and let's do it. And in all reality, I talked to somebody not long ago, within 12 months, we could be breaking ground on this thing.
Well, what's Everside wants to build it, go ahead, in my eyes, build it. Manny Maroon's got all footings built on both sides of the river. He's ready to go. He can start building tomorrow, not 12 months from now.
All right. Well, something's got to happen. It happened to happen quick. Okay, Kevin Moore with me, Teamsters Local 299. I am Tony Trupiano. A quick break here. Again, feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. A lot more to get to on the other side. Stay with us.
And when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet.
Brighten your home for the holidays. Get $3 instant discounts on select energy-efficient LED light strings at participating Eco Hardware and the Home Depot stores. Visit DTEenergy.com/save energy.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. House Republicans finally relented Thursday and agreed to extend both the payroll tax cut and unemployment benefits for 2 months. But the deal adds fees to home sales through Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. Democrats had wanted to pay for the payroll tax break by taxing people with incomes above $1 million a year an extra 3%. House Republicans refused to tax millionaires more, but they were okay with charging middle-class working families more to buy a home. As clueless politicians, many of whom are millionaires, play their gridlock games, working people are suffering. Mike Glaber of Milwaukee has been jobless for a year. He wants to see a robust New Deal-type government program to create the jobs we need and to rebuild critical infrastructure. If he could speak to these politicians in a voice loud enough to be heard over the rich lobbyists, this is what he would say to them.
I tell them they have to drop their ideological game playing and simply do what's correct, to get back to actually governing in the context of public service. They're serving the public. They're not serving the Republican Party. They're not serving some ideological, theoretical machinery from some outside, you know, private sector billionaires. They need to be serving the public and doing it well and be damned with thinking about, am I going to get reelected?
So who do you think has earned the dubious honor of being Scrooge of the Year for 2011? Jesse Russell reveals who Scrooge of the Year is.
Jobs with Justice has awarded their annual Scrooge of the Year to the chair of Walmart's board of directors, Rob Walton. The organization said that if the Walton family, who control 49% of Walmart stock, and have a combined net worth equal to that of the bottom 30% American families. Simply use their dividends from their Walmart stock. They could provide a minimum of $12 per hour for all of their employees. On average, the company pays $8.81 per hour. One of the runners-up for the Scrooge of the Year award is the eighth largest corporation in the United States, Publix. Although the company brought in $5.5 billion in profits last year, it refuses to commit to help improve working conditions and wages for farm workers who supply their company's tomatoes. Nine corporations have already made the commitment after being encouraged by the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. Publix, being one of the largest companies in the world, could bring real change to Florida's tomato fields and enhance the quality of life for thousands of hardworking farmers.
This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. This newscast made possible in part through underwriting from the AFL-CIO. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to First Shift. Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299, with me. I want to thank all the people sending emails. Patrick, Kevin, of course, says hello and appreciate you listening in this morning, as I do. You know, Kevin, you and I were talking during the break about the bridge, and you wanted to make an important point, and one that people want to hear as well.
Yeah, I'd just like to just touch on one more thing. I've sat with Manny Maroon. I've asked him about building his new bridge. He has guaranteed me it'll be a project labor agreement that could put 5,000 working families together, with the building trades. So I kind of challenged the governor to stand up and meet with that, because Jim Hoff and I met with the governor and asked him that same question. If he builds a new bridge, will it be a project labor agreement with union families building this bridge? And after it's done being built, will he put good working class union members on the bridge? He couldn't answer. He couldn't answer. And he didn't even go as far as saying that he would buy the steel from America. He wants to buy it from China. So I challenge him. I challenge both sides. Let's build the bridge, no matter who's going to do it, or build two bridges and put 10,000 families to work in Michigan, building two bridges, project labor agreements, so we can stimulate the economy in Michigan. So I challenge them both. I know Manny Maroon looked me in the eyes and told me, project labor agreement, 5,000 families go to work, and when it's done, it'll be union families on the bridge. I challenge the governor to stand up and do that.
Well, obviously he can't do that, because you asked him directly and he didn't give you an answer. Well, I'm glad that we brought that up. Let's look forward. We've now said a couple times it's all about 2012 and what we do. We know that there's an education effort involved there. You know, Kevin, you and I have been. I'm going to go back to 2004. We were at the Democratic National Convention together. I'm sure we'll be there again this year. We go back a little bit further than that as well. So you and I have been doing radio now, the better part of 10 years. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem possible, but I guess it's true as we take a look at it. I have never, Kevin, in all the years I've been involved in politics, seen such divisiveness, but I've also never seen such despair. I've seen good people, people that you and I would normally interact with, kind of give up. There's a little bit of apathy, and I understand the apathy, because when you do nothing but lose, it gets very difficult even to get out of bed in the morning. So the question is, how do we motivate? And let's have that conversation. How do we motivate people? I mean, that's something I've got to work on, because frankly, that's part of what I do here is meant you folks in labor expect me to motivate these people.
Well, it is a struggle. Like you said, people are so beat down and that's exactly what the right wing wants. They want to beat you down so you don't even get out of bed in the morning. I don't really know the answer, Tony, other than men like you and these people on this radio show have to talk to their family, their friends. We have to create a buzz in our community. We have to talk about us and what we stand for. And the minute we give up, if we lose men like you, we have no voice. Middle class America is gone. And we can't, as long as I'm breathing, I'm going to keep preaching.
Well, and you know, that is the point. I think, you know, it goes back to something that I say that, you know, and I, from the very beginning when the show started back in May, I said it's not enough to show up anymore. You need to stand up. You know, as an example, and I haven't been to one of your union meetings lately, and
You're coming in March.
Okay, well, then I'll be there in March. But, you know, as far as participation, I don't know how that is for you guys. I know that a lot of union shops, they invite me in to come speak, and, you know, before I get there, you know, I usually get a phone call, you know, hey, we haven't really had a lot of, you know, big attendance lately. We're hoping with you coming, you know, there'll be more people there. So they're warning me because they expect, you know, they think that I expect the room to be full. When it's not full, I'll be disappointed. It's not about me. This isn't about me. When I come to speak at a union hall, it's not about pleasing me. You know, don't invite me to please me. That's what it's about. I understand the challenge, though. The challenge to get people to that union meeting is not a new challenge. Even in good times, in good times, it's even a more difficult challenge. But it's true. We do need to get more men and women in our membership to these meetings. Address why that's important. What goes on for those that, because there are a lot of people that have never been to a union meeting. What goes on at that meeting?
Oh, you'd be surprised at the amount of my own membership that have never been to the Union Hall on Trouble Avenue, where James R. Hoffa created the Teamsters movement in Detroit. I mean, I spin in circles sometimes. Can't fathom how they never showed up at a union meeting. But you have your proactive people. You know, it's just like in the labor movement, you represent 10% of the people 90% of your time.
Right.
And our 10% of our movement is the one that has to have the voice. We've tried 13 years ago, I used to have 400 families come to a monthly meeting. Now it's down to 100, 150. Why? Because their wives are working another job. They're working more hours to try to pay the bills. When the wife's working on the weekends, they're home watching the kids. I mean, that's the dynamics that we're changing. I mean, when you and I grew up, my father worked 60 hours a week. My mother raised the household.
Right.
Now it's the mother's working, the father's working, the kids are in latchkey. There is no, they're, the family values, the middle class values, they're just disintegrating it. So educating, we talk all the time about it, Tony. We ask our stewards, our union stewards are your voice in the workplace.
Yeah.
So I educate them, hopefully they go back to the workplace and send our message. It is a struggle. People are beat down.
Let's talk a minute about union stewards, because they are the backbone of any union. They are not paid. They gladly take on a responsibility that most people can't fathom. They're the voice in two worlds. They're the voice in your world at the union hall and in the workplace. I mean, they work harder, God bless them, than pretty much anybody I know. I mean, I can't say enough good things about union stewards.
They're the front line of the labor movement. They fight the fight every day at the workplace with the employer to stand up for the members' voice. We are lucky enough that we do one little thing for our union stewards. We pay their union dues every month. That's a dying art anymore, but that's just a little something we give back to them. But a union steward is the voice of the union at the workplace each and every day. And I praise them. I wish them the best, and Merry Christmas to all of them, because without them, we don't have a labor.
Yeah, you know, and again, I've been blessed to know a lot. Some of them, of course, Teamsters is stewards. I've been blessed to know a lot of union stewards, and I just, they're crazy. They're crazy men and women, because I'm telling you, people can't fathom how hard they have to work. They're amazing people.
They're passionate. They get up every morning and do the yeoman's work each and every day at their workplace. And, I can't praise them enough. We could talk an hour about them.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, one of the things that I'm going to commit to doing is I'm going to dedicate a 3-hour show to union stewards in the new year. Definitely going to do that, because people need to understand, again, the commitment that they make and the energy that it takes to do what they do. And then they're in, a lot of times, Kevin, they're in a no-win situation, because, you know, they expect, I'm in the workplace, I go to my steward, I have an expectation about what he or she's going to do for me. They then have to turn around and go to the union hall and say, hey, listen, I got a situation. If it's agreements, I got a situation here. They're, you know, for the person that's filing the grievance, there's only one right answer. And you know what? They're not always right. I will never forget the first time, the very first time I was in your office. There was somebody you were going to fight. Somebody had filed a grievance that, you know, they had drug tested them and they had found some drugs in their system. And you're on the phone with this guy, and you said to this, and I will never forget this. You said, "I will go to my deathbed to defend you, but let me find out you didn't piss clean, and let me find out that you turned your back on me, and you will pay for that."
Absolutely.
And this guy's stuttering on the phone because he wasn't going to piss clean, and he knew he wasn't going to. Well, Mr. Moore, maybe you should wait till next month. You know, all of a sudden, I will never forget that because you said, I'm there for you. I am 100% there for you. I will go to battle for you.
Well,
but be wrong.
There is price to pay for that.
Yeah. So, you know, for everybody that thinks that, you know, and that's another thing, Kevin, this idea that, you know, once you're in the union, that it's nothing but one nice, soft, cushy job, and that you get away with anything, and that people punch in and out for you. That's, none of that is true.
That's so not true. Believe me, the union families are put at a higher standard. The employers put them at a higher standard. And, you know, society, anybody can make a mistake. But those who think that the union families go to work, they steal on the job, they do drugs and alcohol on the job, is ludicrous.
Yeah.
They're put at a very high standard.
Yeah, there's no question. Again, I will never forget that. Clearly, I will never forget that. We've only got literally 2 minutes left. Here we are at the end of 2011. First of all, I want to thank you for your continued friendship and support of everything that I do. You've been a good friend for a long time,
we'll
and
be
I appreciate
forever,
that.
Tony.
Yeah, absolutely. Any last thoughts as we head into the holiday?
I would really like to thank all the audience that's listening to the First Shift. I ask you this, just like we did for Barack Obama, those who, middle-class America, that reached in their pocket and gave $1, $2, $3 a week for Barack Obama to make sure that he had the money to fight the right-wing Republicans. If you have $1, $2, $5, if you can help the First Shift, if you can give time to your community, I urge you to do so, because without Tony Cipriano on the radio show every morning speaking our voice, we don't have one. And I also like to reach out and give a Merry Christmas to all the labor leaders in this community. Roger Robinson, especially Bob King, and I are very close friends. Roger's passionate and heartfelt. I want to also thank our teachers, our firefighters, our police officers who educate our children, protect our community. They're trying to beat you into the ground. You have to stand up. You have to support them, support your community. And, Tony, I thank you so much for allowing me the pleasure to be on your air with you.
And one of many more times to come, Kevin Moore. Thank you so much. Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299. When we come back, we will have our last visit with Occupy Detroit for the year, but there's a lot more to come in 2012. Folks, please stay with us.
With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call, it's the happy season of all.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift, and I'm giving a happy holidays to all the listeners out there. Thanks for the support.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Cipriano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hi, Tony Cipriano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you. Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Recently on First Shift,
NBA veteran and former star of the Michigan Fab Five, Jalen Rose.
There's no way we can help turn around the fate of our great city if we're not educating our youth. Now, you know what those numbers will do. They'll increase the crime rate. They will increase the poverty rate. They'll increase the migration rate of families who now feel like they need to move out of the Detroit area to really find quality schools and opportunity and jobs for their families.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano
on 1310
WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trippiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trippiano on Facebook. And also, so follow us
at Tony Trippiano on Twitter.
Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trippiano.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, it is 7:50, and that does mean just one thing anymore on First Shift. It means it's time for Occupy Detroit. But before we get to our guest, I wanted to play a little audio from yesterday because it ties in very nicely to what we're going to talk about today with Shannon McEvely. So, Jeff, if you would, the protest audio, please.
Right now, community leaders, local pastors, as well as residents are meeting here at Bethany Baptist Church. They're working on a strategy on how best to take a stand against having an emergency manager.
I believe that we have the capability to manage our own city. We don't need any interruption. We can look at Pontiac and see what's happening in Pontiac and Benton Harbor, and it's not a help. They're hindering the people.
It's a message shared by all of these people here at Bethany Baptist Church. With the looming possibility of an emergency manager for the city of Detroit, they are planning protests for January 16th, including one outside Governor Rick Snyder's residence.
We have to escalate our demonstration. We must litigate, but we must also demonstrate. And so we are trying to figure out how the different pieces of the puzzle, labor, faith, our congressional representatives, our state reps, our city council, how we all come together to save democracy.
At 12:30, Reverend Jesse Jackson and Congressman John Conyers, as well as that entire group, they're going to be having a news conference to discuss their protest plans.
And, of course, Shannon's here to talk to us about that press conference and everything EFM right now. Shannon, blessings to you as we wrap up our 2011 with you folks. Of course, we'll be picking it up again on January 2nd, but welcome back to First Shift.
Thank you so much, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. So let's talk a little bit about the press conference yesterday. How did it go?
It went great. We started off, the idea at the beginning was that we were going to have an organizing meeting based around this action. And then when Reverend Jackson was coming to town, obviously it was, you know, gonna get bigger from there. So we had a great meeting with, I think we had upwards of 50 faith leaders, pastors and ministers from around Detroit, Congressman Conyers, Congressman Peters, Councilwoman Watson, as well as, you know, a ton of people from labor, and then some occupiers represented as well. So we had a phenomenal meeting to talk about, get everyone updated on the EM situation, and talk about our next steps. And then also got to listen to Reverend Jackson kind of put what's going on here in a bit of a historical context. And then the press conference, which immediately followed it, also was hugely successful. It's hard not to be, I guess, when you have, a U.S. congressman and the Reverend Jesse Jackson in the room, you're going to get the cameras and you're going to get the coverage that you want. So that was a huge blessing that the Reverend came through, and he was able to impart a lot of wisdom on all of us here regarding the emergency manager law, how egregious of a violation it is of the people of Michigan's civil rights. And also, you know, like I said, a little bit of historical context, but also the fact that, you know, if this was happening, if a full 50% of, let's say, Mississippi's African-American population was being disenfranchised by a law, you would most likely see a very, very big outcry, because a state like Mississippi or Alabama or South Carolina has that legacy. But because people don't expect that kind of thing in a state like Michigan, they're not ready to recognize the such serious disenfranchisement that you're not seeing the outcry that we need to hear. So we need to step up. I think that we need to step up our messaging. We need to get more aggressive with our messaging, and we need to get it out to the people of Michigan that this is the most, you know, egregious violation of civil rights that there has been in, you know, I don't even know, probably since I've been living, in the last 25 years at least.
Well, I'm not going to disagree, Shannon, with anything you've said. In fact, I'm going to applaud you for everything you've said. It seems to me that we have perfectly positioned ourselves, and you must have said something right because the phones are blowing up on us right now. But it certainly, and in my opinion, we have perfectly positioned ourselves. And I don't often pat myself on the back, but I will this time. I think that it is critical that the partnership that we created, Shannon, with Occupy Detroit and this radio show continue to grow, because I believe we are having an impact. I truly believe that. We've got to get to the phones because we're going to run out of time. So let me get to the phones and welcome Charles to First Shift. Charles, Merry Christmas to you. What's on your mind, my friend?
Merry Christmas, and thank you again to Occupy. I just want to say that there's a rally against the dictator law on January 2nd, that's Monday, at 5 o'clock at Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church at West Grand Boulevard and Grand River in Detroit. And it's going to be, it's all in the same movement. I also want to say the state bailed itself out with stimulus money from Obama, which the Republicans constantly banged on Obama for giving. They took the money with one hand and badmouth Obama the other. The state had a much bigger deficit than Detroit. Some of that money, as well as the $220 million, that's beyond the $220 million that is talked about, should have gone to Detroit. So the state is, you know, they're more fiscally irresponsible than Detroit. And so, you know, that should be in the mix. There are phonies. The Republicans in Michigan legislature are a bunch of fakes.
Absolutely. Charles,
so thanks for occupying.
You bet. Absolutely. And they'll accept that. Chris in Ferndale, we're going to wrap it up with you. What's on your mind, Chris?
Morning, Tony. How are you doing?
Good.
I just read an article saying Detroit was $12 billion in debt. And as much as I'm against disenfranchising people and taking away their God-given right to vote, I don't understand what else we can do. I don't know. There's no other solutions being put out on the table as to how to take Detroit out of this hole.
You're right. You're right. And, Chris, and unfortunately, we don't have time, and appreciate the call. Don't have time to get into that. Shannon, we don't know how to solve Detroit's problems, but forcing a dictator on them is not the way to do it.
Exactly. And my line, and I'm by no means an accountant, or any kind of financial expert who would begin to have the answers. What I always say, though, is that there is no problem. In this country, in the United States of America, there is no problem where taking away citizens' right to vote should be on the table. It shouldn't even be considered in this country.
You're
and the
right.
fact that it was actually legislated, I mean, it's unconscionable.
Absolutely, and to go back to Chris's point very quickly, I don't even disagree with what he had to say, but what Shannon says is critically important. To take away somebody's right to vote, taxation without representation is against the Constitution. Shannon, blessings to you. Thank you so much. We will look forward to 2012 with you.
Thank you so much. And, Tony, one last thing. Christos Michalakis' birthday was yesterday. So happy birthday to Christos.
Yes, happy birthday, Christos. And, Christos, when you next time you want to have a party, think about it in advance, not day of, dude. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back.
A pair of hopalong boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Bonnie and Ben.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drug stores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble.
Senator Reid and I have reached an agreement on payroll tax relief on behalf of the American people.
Top story this hour, Congress set to vote today on extending the payroll tax cut for another 2 months. That's House Speaker John Boehner. Assuming the bill passes, and it's expected to, you won't get hit with a tax increase January 1st after all. CNN's John King reports Boehner bowed to political pressure from the White House, from Democrats, even from some of his fellow Republicans.
They're getting a small tweak in the language here, but they caved. And they caved under relentless pressure. You have a president who used the bully pulpit. He used it very effectively over the course of the last week or so, surrounded himself with real people and said these are the people who would be hurt by this.
Boehner had wanted the tax cut to be extended for a full year, not just 2 months. Some House Republicans want to rein in TSA officers. Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn is sponsoring a bill to stop TSA screeners from using the title officer and wearing badges and uniforms resembling police uniforms. Blackburn says the TSA personnel have a specific job to do.
These are screeners. You have reclassified their job title to say officers. You did that administratively. They should go back to being screeners and focus on protecting the flying public, not to overreaching their authority because they're wearing a law enforcement uniform and a badge.
Thousands of people gathered today in Prague for the funeral of Václav Havel, the former Czech president, writer, and dissident who helped end the Cold War. CNN's Atika Schubert is there.
What made Václav Havel so remarkable was that he was able to deliver what was Czechoslovakia at the time from an authoritarian communist regime into a democracy.
The same area of New Zealand that was devastated by a powerful earthquake in February was hit by a series of quakes today. At least two people were hurt near the city of Christchurch. The largest quake had a magnitude 5.9. And heavy rains and flooding have killed at least 23 people in Tanzania and displaced more than 4,000 others. Officials fear the death toll there could rise. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Shopping for a car? The best place to start is CarMax.com. At CarMax.com, you can compare features, prices, and more on thousands of high-quality used cars and trucks in our nationwide inventory. You can even transfer most cars to the store nearest you. A fee may apply. It's the easy way to see actual prices and tons of pictures and find the car that's perfect for you. Log on to CarMax.com and start shopping today. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What do we do before social media? Smoke signals? I mean, everybody's using it. Wouldn't it be great if you, small business owner, could get your best customers to share your message with all their friends? Now you can with email marketing from Constant Contact. That's right, email. You send a Constant Contact email to your customers. It has a share button that lets them, well, share your message on social media. And suddenly, OMG, their friends become your next customers. This so beats smoke signals. Go to ConstantContact.com and sign up for a free 60-day trial today.
Smartphones are replacing digital cameras. According to research firm NPD Group, the share of consumers taking photos on their smartphones has grown from 17% last year to 27% this year, while camera share has fallen from 52% to 44%. If you have not finished your holiday shopping, the delay could pay off. Many chains slashing prices. 40% discounts at Abercrombie & Fitch, half off at Ann Taylor, 60% at Gap. Consultants at Alex Partners, though, tell the New York Times the bad news. It could signal chain stores are top-heavy with inventory. But the low prices may be good news for the head of Netflix. Blunders that alienated the video subscription service customers and slashed into the stock will cost CEO Reed Hastings $1.5 million. The Netflix board is slashing his stock options in half. Hastings' base salary, though, untouched at $500,000. Looking ahead to the opening bell on Wall Street, S&P futures gaining almost 7 points, NASDAQ up 9, Dow rising 51. I'm Steve Potas, ScatMarketWatch.com.
Please listen to this important announcement from Pfizer, the makers of Lipitor, atorvastatin calcium tablets. Pfizer may help you reduce the cost of your monthly Lipitor prescription. For eligible patients, Lipitor is available for as little as $4 a month with the Lipitor copay card. Terms and conditions apply. To learn more, please visit Lipitor.com. See our ad in Cooking Light magazine. Learn more at Lipitor.com or call 1-888-LIPITOR.
There's nothing like a ghost story around the campfire, and I've got one that's not for the faint of heart. Once there was a camper who did not insure his RV with Geico. He didn't listen when fellow campers told him how much money Geico saved them by insuring their campers, trailers and pop-ups, or how he could save even more with a multi-policy discount. The camper paid dearly for his mistake. He paid out the nose, poor chap. Well, good luck getting to sleep after that doozy of a tale.
Call Geico or visit geico.com today to see how much our multi-policy discount could save you.
Shopping for a car? The best place to start is CarMax.com. At CarMax.com, you can compare features, prices, and more on thousands of high-quality used cars and trucks in our nationwide inventory. You can even transfer most cars to the store nearest you. A fee may apply. It's the easy way to see actual prices and tons of pictures and find the car that's perfect for you. Log on to CarMax.com and start shopping today. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What do we do before social media? Smoke signals? I mean, everybody's using it. Wouldn't it be great if you, small business owner, could get your best customers to share your message with all their friends? Now you can, with email marketing from Constant Contact. That's right, email. You send a Constant Contact email to your customers. It has a share button that lets them, well, share your message on social media. And suddenly, OMG, their friends become your next customers. This so beats smoke signals. Go to ConstantContact.com and sign up for a free 60-day trial today.
Welcome back to the show.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
It's Friday, and you know what that means. The end of a great week of shows is wrapped up with a chat with Joe DeSano. And yes, Jeff, it's almost time for breakfast meeting. Jeez, is food all you guys think about? Now, back to Tony.
And welcome back. And I think that we're going to, as much as I enjoy that, we're going to retire this open and move on. We've got some good plans for 2012, I can assure you. Hey, before we get to our guest, and we will in a minute, we got this email from Patricia, and I wanted to read it out loud. Thank you so much for having Mr. Moore on your show. His passionate words were such an inspiration. I cannot thank you enough for your show. Thank you for everything you do. Thanks, Jeff and young Anthony as well. It's adorable the way the three of you talk sports. I giggle every time, and I'm not prone to the giggles until the first 30 minutes of your show. Thank you so much, Patricia. I appreciate that. Merry Christmas to you and a Happy New Year. I just wanted to share that more with Anthony and Jeff, but everybody gets a chance to participate as well. All right, we're going to turn our attention now to our next guest. He is, of course, someone you're all used to at this point, so let's get the intro out of the way.
It's time to talk politics with our political strategist
from Main Street Strategies,
Joe DeSano.
And yes, joining us now from Main Street Strategies is Joe DeSano. Happy to have him with us. Buona Natale to you, my Goombadi, And for those of you that aren't Italian, you have no idea what the hell I just said, but it's okay.
Well, thank you, my friend. Thank you. I appreciate the warm welcome, as always. And that was an excellent email. What a nice email to get. It's nice to get those little notes of surprise, you know, to kind of tie up the year for you. So, yeah, congratulations for having such loyal listeners.
Yeah, you know, I do feel blessed, Joe, and certainly, as I've this week, as we, you know, we're getting ready to wrap things up, because this is our last live show for the year. We'll be off until January 2nd. I am so blessed, and I feel just absolutely so encouraged by this audience. And so as we look to make some changes going into the new year and to mix things up a little bit and to find a little more energy, because we're going to need lots of it to beat up Republicans in 2012, it's just good to know that I've got wonderful listeners like Patricia out there and great guests, Joe, like you. You know, and certainly you have added a deeper element to the show. You know, this has worked out beautifully. I'm very grateful for, you know, this hour every week. I truly do enjoy this.
Well, I thoroughly enjoy it too, and I love it when callers call in. So, you know, get on the phones. Let's spar a little bit. Let's have some fun.
Absolutely. In fact, folks, if you want to do that now, 888-552-3595. We're going to kind of take a look back, a look forward, and a look inside, even as we work our way through the hour today. You know, something occurred to me as we say, you know, here's Joe DeSano from Main Street Strategies. You know, we've never defined what Main Street Strategies is. Joe, if you wouldn't mind, give the audience a little idea of what you folks do at Main Street.
Yeah, well, basically, we're a political consulting firm. We handle candidates all the way from the top of the ticket down to local town races. We handle direct mail, basically all your communication needs, as well as provide advice and strategic insight, and frankly, a lot of it is stopping candidates from making really, really bad rookie mistakes. So we offer a wide array of services, a la carte, if you will, and you know, basically, it's a almost full service political consulting firm.
And of course, your partner Todd Cook, an amazingly nice man. Obviously, the two of you you do okay together. You obviously get along okay. How did the two of you end up?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to speak over you.
That's all right. I was just saying, how did the two of you meet?
Oh gosh, I met Todd in it would have been the mid 90s. He was actually my boss in 1997 and 98 at the Democratic Communications Department of the Michigan House of Representatives. And, you know, we've always been respectful of each other and friends, and I think we do compliment each other quite nicely. He's far more patient and professional than I am. I tend to be a little bit more, shall we say, impulsive and wild. And he is the adult. He's the saucer that cools the coffee, so to speak. He calms me down, and he does a hell of a job at that. So he's a joy to work with and a good friend.
Well, and now I'm going to really put you on the spot. You used to do a podcast titled, a very popular podcast titled Two Guys Named Joe. Any idea when that might come back?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, Two Guys Named Joe was the brainchild of myself and a Republican consultant named Joe Munim. And last year, Joe took a job in West Bloomfield in city government, and his employer really kind of frowned on him having any outside political activity, which, frankly, I don't blame them for that. You know, when you're a municipal or state government employee, what you say and do does reflect upon your employer. So as long as Joe is employed by West Bloomfield Township government, the podcast will be on hold. But I'll tell you, I've always been struck at really how popular that weekly podcast got. I mean, even today, we haven't done a show in almost exactly a year. I think our last show was Christmas Day, 2011 or 2010. And I literally, every time I go to any type of Democratic function, or even broader political function, people ask that same question. So, you know, when Joe is ready to come back into the private sector, we'll get the show back up and running. And it's just so cool, really, to have people still asking about it even a year after we did our last show.
Well, you know, the show is still archived. It's still out there. People can still go and listen to it. And in fact, Joe, it was through that. It was through that podcast that I had interest in having you on the show, and you and I have a mutual friend by the name of Amy McCusker, and I'm a big fan of hers. She's a big fan of yours. I said, God, you know, I'd really like to have this guy in my show. When I found out I was going to be doing a show, you know, do you think he'd even talk to me? And she went, silly man, of course he would. And sure enough, you did, and the rest is history, as they say.
All our shows are archived on your website, and all the podcasts are archived on twoguysnamedjoe.net. So if you want to go back and listen to them, I personally can't go back and listen to them. It feels so narcissistic to do so. But, you know, I think the great thing about the podcast is we really offer, I think, a nuts and bolts insight into how campaigns are run. I think it wasn't very ideological. It was more about the blocking and tackling of politics than you know, anything about issues. We made a great effort to stay away from issues. I mean, there's so many people and so many shows out there that deal with sort of the crossfire attitude of arguing, and you know, I wasn't interested in doing that, and neither was Joe, and I think the popularity of the show attests to the fact that, you know, I think we had the right approach.
Well, there's no question you had the right approach, and what I particularly enjoyed about it is that you dealt with issues that you didn't find anywhere else in the political conversation, or at least not presented in the way that you guys presented it or at the level you presented it, and you kind of introduced things that, you know, people didn't know they wanted to hear it until they were hearing it. They were like, yeah, this is exactly the conversation we need to be having. So there was something uncommonly refreshing about it, and there was a respect to it. And again, I can't recommend enough that people go and take an issue and listen to some of the past episodes of Two Guys Named Joe at twoguysnamedjoe.net. Because what you're going to, a lot of it's timeless, by the way. I mean, that's the other thing about it, Joe, is I don't think you were deliberate in that, but it just works out that way. A lot of the stuff that you talk about is as applicable today as it was the day you recorded it.
Well, and I think that goes back to the fact that we weren't dealing with ideological or issue-based arguments. We were talking about, you know, how you plan walking a precinct, how you put together a piece of mail, how you communicate with voters. I mean, those are somewhat timeless principles that are going to endure. I'm not sure in 10 years the podcast will have any value, but I still think there's a lot of stuff there. You know, one thing I did find very interesting is neither Joe nor I are journalists, but we are very often privy to information before it pops up in the media. And we were breaking stories on that show, and very often media members would take stuff from the show, sometimes without attribution, and run it under their own byline. We never really got upset about it. It was more kind of humorous, but I think in a broader perspective, I think it shows kind of the breakdown of the mainstream media and how folks like us with an ideological point of view can kind of influence the state of play of the game.
Yeah, and you absolutely did. All right, Joe DeSano, a quick break here, and we come back. We've got some stuff to talk about. We're going to get to it. We, again, want to invite you to join us. 888-552-3595. A look back in the legislature and what's happening politically around the state of Michigan when First Shift continues. Stay with us. Joe DeSano is my guest. We'll be back. Happy holidays, everybody. This is Tony. I want to wish you all the blessings of this holiday season. No matter what your belief system is this time of year, may this season bring peace and solidarity to us all. God bless everybody and Happy New Year. Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Hurry to JCPenney for the final days to save before Christmas. Shop till midnight, find 50% off coats and sleepwear. Go to jcp.com. JCPenney. Some stores close before midnight. Visit jcp.com or contact store for details. Some exclusions apply. Sephora inside JCPenney, not participating. Offers end December 24.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Why shop at Walgreens for stocking stuffers? So you don't have to deal with this.
Wow, we sure are pressed up against each other.
Yeah, the megastore during the holidays.
Oh, since your hand is free, could you...
Answer your cell phone? Sure. Hello? It's your wife. She wants to know who I am.
Just go to Walgreens. Short lines and great stocking stuffers like Hershey's Kisses chocolates. And most stores are open until midnight, so you can pick up gift wrap, batteries, gift cards, and more. Shopping simplified. With Walgreens, there's a way.
Recently on First Shift.
Alan West, who's a congressman from Florida, gets his information from, what can we say, interesting sources? This is what he had to say on national television.
In the movie G.I. Jane, Demi Moore was waterboarded, and we do use that in military training.
G.I. Jane. He references G.I. Jane? Really?
Well, I think that the military needs to develop lightsabers, because in the movie Star Wars, they proved to be pretty useful.
First Shift with Tony on 1310 WDEW.
Party guy, by the way.
I'm a teacher, and my kids keep me going all day. My feet needed help. I was using a gel insole when I heard about the ProFoot 2-ounce Miracle insole.
Only the 2-ounce Miracle is made with custom-forming VitaFoam to keep your feet steady and comfortable. The 2-ounce Miracle insoles conform to the unique shape of your feet, just like custom orthotics. Plus, they cushion and support your feet for amazing comfort.
The lightweight 2-ounce Miracle insoles really help my feet.
Try the ProFoot 2-ounce Miracle insole, available at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and other fine stores.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on Facebook, and also follow us
at Tony Truppiano on Twitter.
My favorite way to wake up in the morning is with Tony Truppiano and First Shift, First Shift, First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now here's Tony.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. Joe DeSano with Main Street Strategies is my guest, as he is every week at this time. And Joe, it's time to take a deep breath and take a look at the as the year passed. You know, we came into 2011 not really knowing what to expect with Governor Snyder. We didn't know what to expect, and then the state of the state came, Joe, and we started to get a little feel for what we were going to get. And I don't know if we are need to do too much guessing anymore. We now know what we got.
Well, let's go back in the good old Wayback Machine to the 2010 campaign and kind of marvel at how adept the now governor was at being elusive on issues. He was allowed, frankly, by the media to skate by. I still maintain to this day the media decided right after the primary that he was going to be the next governor and were collecting chits for the time he became governor by giving him incredibly, incredibly wonderful coverage that allowed him to be elusive as to exactly what his agenda was. But I think after a full year in office, I think it's quite clear of his what his profile is, what his agenda is, and where he's leading the state. I think the veil has been lifted, so to speak, and he was allowed to portray himself as a moderate, as a genial, nice guy, nerd who has been exposed really as just as ideological as any other Republican governor in the state. I mean, to kind of pull back the veil a little bit, even in the primary, the Snyder campaign was making huge overtures to the gay community, the gay and lesbian community, and they were doing this through the Milliken family, who apparently one of the Milliken children is gay, him or herself, and was acting as an envoy to the gay community. And they made great inroads, okay? Then you flash forward to yesterday when he signed that domestic partner bill banning benefits. You got to wonder how betrayed those folks feel this morning. And we can just shed ourselves of this illusion that the governor's a moderate, you know? He just isn't. The only time he has shown any moderation is, well, I can't think of the example. I mean, really, he is no different than any other governor across the country happens to be a Republican.
Well, you know, and that's the whole point here is, you know, for those people that thought, well, he's a nice guy, or, you know, he seems to be quite moderate. We have...
Well, and Hitler loved pets.
Okay.
So, you know.
And you know, fair enough. Now we know what we're dealing with. Can we now finally get those that might be listening to the show that think that he is a fair and equitable guy to see him for what he is, a white right-wing extremist Republican that wants nothing than to make sure he takes care of those that take care of him, period.
No, and we're making the same point, and we have to communicate this to voters in places like Oakland County who went to him in droves thinking that he was this cuddly nerd who, you know, is going to be even-handed and a non-ideological. And, you know, he just isn't. I mean, he signs every bill the crazy right-wing legislature sends him. He hasn't vetoed anything. He is a right-wing ideologue wrapped up in a gooey centrist covering, and it just is not reality. I think you're starting to see the members of the media who were frankly cheerleading him on the victory in the fall of 2010. I think they're starting to get buyer's remorse and seeing just how ideological and non-or partisan his agenda is. I mean, Tim Skubick wrote a column last week that I thought was incredibly insightful about just how partisan he's been and how he's been completely unsuccessful in being able to build bridges across the partisan aisle because he simply has no interest in dealing with Democrats in really any form.
Oh, he doesn't have to. I mean, you know, take it for what it is. I mean, politically, he just doesn't have to deal with Democrats. And understanding the frustration that the Democrats might have with that, let's just be honest about it. If you're a Republican, Joe, and if you're a Republican governor, and you've got a Republican House and a Republican Senate and a Republican Supreme Court, well, it doesn't get a whole lot easier than this job right now.
No, but that's not what he sold during the campaign.
Oh, and but we clearly agree on that.
I'm a firm believer in you govern as you campaign. You know, I think when you campaign, you're creating a mandate and almost a contract with voters on how you're going to behave. And the difference between the rhetoric and the reality is stark. I mean, he never talked about a pension tax on senior citizens during the course of the campaign. He never said that. He never talked anything about the domestic partner bill he signed yesterday. That was never on his agenda. You know, he was really politically adept at sticking to a message, and I believe he had members of the media who were complicit in that.
Well, there's no question, Joe, that's true. And, you know, we stop and listen, I don't know who his political strategists were, but I'll give them a pat on the back. They certainly were very adept as well at making sure he stayed comfortably away from any issue that mattered, because honestly, this state was so anxious for change that they recognized early on that they didn't need to succumb to debates. They didn't need to bend to anything that Virg Bernero wanted to answer to. They didn't have to take the bait. They just didn't have to do it because they knew something, Joe, that you and I probably knew as well, that the Democrats weren't going to come out and vote, that they only needed to appeal to Republicans, and that's what they did. That's a brilliant move, by the way.
Oh, and I think you absolutely are correct in recognizing it. I mean, he did get very good advice. I mean, some of his advisors were absolutely top-notch. But also, you can't really discount the benefit the governor received from, frankly, some of the political ineptitude of the Democratic leadership in Washington, D.C. I know that's kind of a controversial thing to say, but there were many ham-handed and ham-fisted moves by the Obama White House that tilted the playing field in the Republican favor and created that tidal wave. You know, we could have a whole other show on what exactly those missteps were.
Absolutely.
But rest assured that they're there, and the governor benefited from it, and now the people of the state are hurting from it.
All right. Another quick break here. Joe DeSano's with us up until this next segment, so stay with us. A lot more to get to. Congressman Gary Peters, by the way, at 8:50. We'll look forward to that. Let's take the quick break here on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Recently on First Shift.
So joining me now is the new president of the Michigan AFL-CIO, Carla Swift.
There's a lot of work to be done, and there's a great opportunity to come together and work on turning things around in Michigan. And the AFL is the centerpiece of the movement for standing up for working men and women and protecting the middle class and fighting for good jobs with fair pay and benefits.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Are you one of those 11th hour shoppers who's only now realizing that Christmas is this weekend? Well, don't panic, for Jim the Elf Hightower is here to help. All you need is a bushel basket of money and the Neiman Marcus catalog of Christmas goodies. As the catalog itself says up front, exceed all expectations with out-of-the-ordinary presents your loved ones had no idea they wanted. For example, the Tom Burr table tennis table on page 65. This is not your common rec room ping-pong table. It's a contemporary work of art sculpted by this whimsical artist from an unexpected material. black rubber. How delightful is that? And practical, too, because, as Artis Burr himself explains, rubber makes the ball bounce. More bounce for your buck. Speaking of which, Burr's table tennis table goes for $45,000. But hurry, he only made 10 of them. But maybe you want something a little more down to earth. Neiman's has just the ticket for you with a back-to-the-earth trip to the Stone Barns Farm. It's a lush 80-acre complex with a bounty of crops and livestock, as well as a posh restaurant named Blue Hill. You're asked to gather 6 of your friends for this day trip, which will include, quote, a hands-on learning experience. It doesn't say whether that means milking goats, slaughtering a hog, mucking the barn, or what. But it's all yours for $9,500. What a deal. They get some work out of you, and you pay them. Only Neiman Marcus could sell that package. This is Jim Hightower saying there's so much more to choose from, like the $250,000 speedboat or the custom-made computer-activated dancing fountains for a cool $1 million. Isn't it good to know that even in this down economy, there's still a market for such pricey baubles? So get out there and shop. Wall Street is counting on you.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook, and also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
35 minutes after 8 o'clock, just another 25 minutes before we punch out for the year, but we have a lot to get to. Joe DeSano with Main Street Strategies still with us. Congressman Gary Peters at 10 minutes before the top of the hour, so stay right where you're at. Plenty to get to. Of course, Congressman Peters will be here to talk about the payroll tax compromise that was finally the Republicans finally figured out they needed to do before they killed everybody's holiday. So we'll be interested to hear what he has to say on that. Joe, welcome back. Pleasure, of course, to have you with us.
Oh, always a pleasure to be here. I can't wait to hear what Congressman Peters has to say. I'm going to make a prediction for 2012. Congressman Peters is going to trounce Hanson Clark for that seat they're both running for. And that's a shame that Hanson Clark will probably no longer be a member of Congress. But, you know, I'm a big fan of Gary Peters, and so I'm cheering him on.
Well, very good. And, you know, we will certainly be, I'm sure, as we get into 2012, we'll be getting your predictions, handicapping some of these races. But that does bring us a nice segue to where I wanted to go, and that's looking towards 2012. As Democrats, should we be optimistic or pessimistic?
Well, you know what? There is a strand in the Democratic DNA to be very pessimistic, and I don't know where that comes from. I don't know why it exists, but I think it's pretty indisputable that it does exist. And I am here to say to Democrats, 2012 has the makings of what I think is going to be a very good year for Democrats. I think we can take some strength from the fact that the president's political standing has been incredibly resilient. I do think he's headed to re-election, and in fact, when I look at the map, I start to think that there's the makings of an electoral landslide. When you see that he wins right now, if the election were held, he wins states like South Carolina and Florida, which frankly Democrats have no business winning. I think places like Colorado, he's going to still be very successful. I think New Mexico, Nevada, these are all states that used to be incredibly hostile territory towards Democrats. And I think the president standing in those states is a testament to his political strength, and I think it's going to reach down to the ballot and help other Democrats. So I think Democrats can be very, very happy going into 2012 that the Republicans are doing their same routine of self-destructing, focusing on divisive social issues here in Lansing, but also in Washington, D.C. They're like rabid dogs. They've decided, or decided isn't the right word. They are incapable of higher thought, and their only agenda is to destroy the president, even if it destroys themselves along with it. And I think the best example is the most recent example of the fight that we've seen over the payroll pension tax, or the payroll tax cut and extending it. I mean, this is the, we finally found a tax cut that Republicans don't like, and that's one that benefits the middle class and not their patrons, in the millionaire class and the 1% of and the multinational corporations. We finally found a wonderful way for to summarize exactly who those Republicans in office are working for, and they've given us an incredible gift, and we should be happy that the president did, and the Senate Democrats have outfoxed them. Finally, they caved yesterday. It felt good to have the Republicans actually cave to Democrats for once. It happens so rarely that I think we should celebrate that day every year right before Christmas to remind us that, yeah, if Democrats stay united, we can kneecap those Republican rats.
A new national holiday.
Or a partisan holiday.
Absolutely.
A holiday nonetheless.
Well, you know, and it's interesting. Let's bring it back to the state level for a moment. Of course, the House is up in 2012, and a lot of recruiting already going on, and we're going to see a lot of activity, Joe. And I'm going to venture to guess, without knowing this to be a fact, that Main Street Strategies is probably busier than they normally are this time of year, gearing up for 2012.
Yeah, it's interesting. Usually after an election, the November election, things slow to a stop almost right around Thanksgiving. And that has not been the case this year. Our dance card as a company is almost filled for next year. And one of our business philosophies is that we never take more work than we can handle. Because I think what sets us apart from other people who do this is you don't talk to associates in the company. You don't talk to, you know, junior people who work for us. You talk to Todd or myself, you know, and that has not, that is a rule that we have, that I think we stand by under every circumstance, and it really hasn't stopped. I mean, yesterday I did three meetings in Detroit that usually would have happened in January or February, but people want to get some of the stuff locked in before the first of the year, and we're going to be very active, as we always are, in local and state level races, and I see the playing field as being very favorable to our candidates next year. I'm excited.
Well, early 2012, with regard to legislation, obviously the Republicans are going to have to be a little bit strategic, because as we get into the primary season, they don't want controversial votes. They're just not going to want that. So what should we expect early in 2012 legislatively, Joe, that we probably will have at maybe some chance of beating, because we can make them wear it as we move through the political season?
Well, I'm deeply concerned with a series of bills designed to suppress voter activity and voter people actually turning up at the polls. There's a one bill in particular that would force a person to prove they're a U.S. citizen when they register to vote, because apparently the right wing likes to believe that massive numbers of illegal immigrants are voting. And I would just like to tell them, it's hard enough to get natural born citizens to vote, much less get illegal immigrants to vote. And this bill would force people, when they register to vote, to produce documents that they are in fact American citizens. And I'll tell you this right now. If I move and I change my voter registration after this bill passes, and someone asks me to prove I'm a U.S. citizen, I might end up in jail that night.
I can appreciate that.
So this bill is designed to drive down the Latino vote here that is growing in Michigan. I mean, you've got places where agriculture is the main source of the economy in places in southern and western Michigan, central Michigan as well, where we have migrant workers who have decided to stay here in Michigan for whatever reason and build homes and become integral parts of their local communities, and they've done nothing wrong. They're legal citizens. And this bill is designed to discourage them from voting. And the burgeoning Latino population here, both in Michigan and across the country, is frankly one of the reasons that President Obama is in a strong position. And Republicans have identified this. They're not stupid, okay? They're certainly not stupid, and they're going to do everything they can to drive down the Latino and African American votes whenever they can, and they're going to set up these hoops for people to jump through, and basically in a lot of cases this legislation, both here in Michigan and across the country, is really modern versions of poll taxes.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Joe, very quickly, we've got about a minute and a half left before we have to let you go for today. Just want to give you some time to say whatever you want to say to this audience before we let you go.
Well, I think your audience, I want to wish them a happy holiday season, and I'm not afraid to not say Merry Christmas, because you've got folks who listen to this show who are of the Jewish faith, and they're enjoying their eight nights of Hanukkah. You've got folks who celebrate Kwanzaa. You've got Muslim listeners who have a celebration during this time of the year. So I want to tell you, happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, happy Eid, whatever your faith is, or if you have no faith, either way, just spend some time with family, enjoy yourself, take a respite from the political wars, because if you're listening to the show, you're a soldier in a much, much grander fight, and take the next 10 days or so, recharge the batteries, get excited, because 2012 is going to be a political ride like none we've ever seen. And people say that every election year, this is the biggest election ever. And I think in many cases, like 2004 and 2008, at that point in time, they were. But this country is at a critical juncture of where we're going to go, if we're going to have a middle class in this country, or if we're just going to have modern version of serfs and noblemen and women. And this is going to be a clear choice that we're going to have to make in 2012. Rest up, because it's going to be a hell of a ride. And I want to thank everyone who's listens to me on the show, and when they see me. Matter of fact, the other night I ran into Carla Swift from the AFL-CIO. And she went on and on about both you, Tony, and how great the show is, and how much she enjoys when I'm on. So if she happens to be listening, Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
Thank you, Joe.
Everyone who listens to the show.
Thank you again. Buona Natale, my friend, and I hope that you have a beautiful holiday, you and your family, and I'll look forward to 2012.
And thank you for everything you do, Tony. You're a real friend.
I appreciate that. Joe DeSano, once again, we got to take the break. When we come back, Congressman Gary Peters, please stay with us.
Happy holidays, Detroit. This is Attorney Richard Bernstein, thanking all the listeners out there who make this city work every day to make this city stronger. The listeners of this show are the backbone, the people who fight, the people who make a difference, and they're the people that I love the most.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's come to over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
On 1310.
WDTW.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. We don't have a lot of time left, and I want to, and as promised, Congressman Gary Peters is with us. I want to go right to him because he has a very busy day today. Interestingly, we could have had one of two very interesting conversations today. I'm happy to say we're having a more positive conversation than we could have had, but before we even get to that, I want to welcome the Congressman back to the show. Thank you for the wonderful Christmas card. I appreciated that, Congressman Peters, and welcome back to First Shift.
Well, it's great to be with you, Tony. How are you doing?
Well, good. I'm very good because we were going to have one of two different interviews. We're having the one I wanted to have, so congratulations. I'm glad the Republicans finally did the right thing. I've got to imagine that it's much easier to be in district with good news today as opposed to bad news.
Well, it certainly is, and it's good news for the people of Michigan. One is that the payroll tax will not be increased for hardworking middle-class Americans. This is not the time to see that happen as the economy still remains fragile. We need to keep things moving. And also the tens of thousands of people who were really on the edge of losing unemployment benefits here in Michigan, which would have been catastrophic to countless families here. Now they can rest a little easier. We've got a two-month extension, but we are certainly committed to making sure that is for the full year. But as you know, the Republicans in the House were really driven by the rigid ideology of their Tea Party members and quite frankly wanted to bring this deal down. But public pressure overcame that, and I think they understood that there would be repercussions to them if they were to be an obstructionist once again, as they have been through this entire year. And Boehner had to relent when even Republicans in the Senate were telling the folks in the House, this is crazy. This is not the right thing to do for the American people. And they had to trump their Tea Party folks. So it is a victory, but we've got to keep the fight up, as you know. Well,
absolutely. And Congressman, when you wake up in the morning and the Wall Street Journal is telling the House Republicans to do the right thing, and it's not what they want to do, you kind of wonder if you're living in some kind of bizarro universe.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, very true, and that's I mean, that's the problem with this rigid ideology, that they're just not thinking about what is really good for the country. And really, I think what was really motivating, and more than anything else, is that these folks just want to bring down the president. They have exhibited that right from the beginning. It's they are more concerned about defeating President Obama than they are about the good of the country and the good of the American people. And hopefully it's catching up to them, that the American people are saying, we will not tolerate this anymore. You have to get your job done. You have to be thinking about what's best for American
families.
Well,
and you have to believe, Congressman Peters, that that's what happened this week. I mean, you have to believe that's what happened this week. The American people finally, you know, spoke out loud enough and listened to what the Democrats were asking them to do, which is to reach out to your colleagues on the Republican side and just tell them, do the right thing, and let's just pass this legislation and move on.
Absolutely, and I think that's what certainly we hope will continue throughout this year, and then going into the election next year, which is going to be critical that people stay engaged. It is very very obvious that elections do matter. People need to get out. They need to make sure that their voice is heard.
No question. Very quickly, before we let you go, let me ask you about the Detroit Transit Center that, again, Tea Party members of that city council turned down that $8.4 million. I know you're very committed to keeping that money in Southeast Michigan.
I am. We worked very hard to get that money for the city of Troy. And when I first came into office in the Congress, I was told by folks within the community this was their number one goal. And it wasn't just city officials. It was really the business community in Troy. The Chamber of Commerce was a huge supporter of the transit center. They understand the economic development benefits of having a transit system that we need to build here in Southeast Michigan. Businesses all across, really not just in Troy, but throughout the region, believe that this is something that is important. It's an important building block for a transit. And then, as I mentioned, elections have consequences. You have a new mayor and some new city council people who are Tea Party folks and have a rigid ideology and rejected this. In fact, when I was talking to folks at the Department of Transportation, they said this is the first time that they've ever known a community to turn back money that they worked very hard to get for a very important project, to turn it back. And we need now to focus on trying to keep it here in Southeast Michigan. Otherwise, it'll just go to another state, to another project. And we need every dollar we can get right here in Southeast Michigan. So I'm certainly committed to fighting that and fighting for that and keeping that money here so that we can build a transit system in our region, which is so critical.
Right, and it's obvious. Anybody that's reading anything about this issue sees your name attached to fighting and showing leadership on this. Merry Christmas to you and your family, and enjoy some time this holiday season. And we'll look forward to advocating on your behalf, Congressman, as we work our way through 2012 and the upcoming election.
Well, thank you, Tony. Always a pleasure to be on your program, and keep being that progressive voice out there. We appreciate all that you do for all of us.
Thank you. God bless you, Congressman. I do appreciate those kind words. Congressman Gary Peters, folks, I do appreciate him a great deal. All right, that's pretty much going to clean it up for us. We only have a couple more minutes left, so let me turn my the microphones on in the other studio and welcome Anthony and Jeff back to the show, as opposed to going, hey, what are you going to do this weekend? It's a holiday. First of all, Jeff, I speak for myself. I'll let Anthony speak for himself. Thank you for the wonderful gifts that you gave. We did a little gift exchange this morning. We'll be going out to breakfast in just a few minutes. But thank you very much for the gifts. They were all very practical, and that doesn't happen often in my world. So you did a good job, buddy. You really did a good job. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you, and especially for the gift you gave me, which I've been enjoying all show long.
Yes, that little pop-up peep show book. No.
Yeah.
No, folks, that's not what I got him. Anthony, anything on your mind?
Oh, what do you, what?
Just say thank you, Jeff. Just say thank you, Jeff, for the gifts.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the peep book.
There is no peep book.
Okay. No, the gifts were, the gifts are great. I got a Snuggie, and I'm pumped about it.
All right.
Go Blue.
Go Blue. That's right. All right. Well, thanks, guys, again, for everything. We're looking forward to a great 2012. And in the meantime, a few last parting words for this wonderful audience. I've been doing radio the better part of 18 years now, and I've done all kinds of radio, from general talk to political talk, obviously. Sometimes I'm better than other times, and that's not what this is about anyway. Ultimately, I do what I do because I believe in you. I believe that what we do here on a daily basis makes a difference, or should make a difference anyway. And I am just so grateful, so very grateful that I have the opportunity to get in front of you every single day, and that you invite me into your homes, into your cars, into your workplaces is an amazing experience, opportunity, and I understand responsibility. And I get that. I truly do get that. And I hope you understand that the reason I do what I do is because I believe we can all live a better life. And I know you want that as much as I want that. So let us commit to doing this together moving forward. All right. Today's Facebook poll question was, will you commit to paying it forward? I will. I know you will. Thank you so much. My true and sincere gratitude and love to each and every one of you today. Of course, off the air, tony@thetonyshow.org. We will be taking next week off, but Jeff has put together an amazing array of shows for you to enjoy while we're getting a little rest and retooling the show to some extent. And as always, I ask that you be well.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana.
You're a rock star, Bert Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great being on your show.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9
on 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.